Yeah! Film vault. Yeah! Film vault. Logan, you gotta time that in post. Welcome to Film Vault, everybody. That is Anderson. I'm Brian Bishop. We're your hosts for today on the Film Vault. Top 5 dumb characters. Top 5 characters. Now, the characters aren't like, you know, these aren't like, oh man, that's a dumb character. These are unintelligent simpletons. But they're great. They're our top 5 dumb characters today on the Film Vault. Anderson?
Yeah.
What's that written down there? Jail?
Don't worry about that.
Okay.
More on that. Oh, shit. Mark it, dude.
Already? Already? Well, all right. Come on, buddy. Momentum. Got to keep the momentum going.
All right. Through the magic.
Right, Anderson just stormed out of here, yeah. Forgetting. Like, oh, forgot something.
I was gone 30 seconds. Should only seem like 5 seconds to you, listeners.
God, please fix that.
Okay.
Have some respect for our listeners.
If I did, I would do this.
Oh, I don't appreciate that. Don't go through. Don't go through the whole rigmarole.
Yeah, I'm plugging your mic.
That's what you would do.
Okay. last week, I don't know if we talked about it on the show here or whatnot, but I got a package from Korea.
You mentioned off the air and saying that I usurped you with my open the gifts.
Oh
that
yeah, I was
going
to do this last week, but you brought in lovely gifts. Logan, you left your gift, by the way,
my
lovely lady. So we'll get a lot to get to today. A lot of good movies to talk about, but I just wanted to pay this off real quick. Got another package.
Okay.
That says the bald one must suffer.
What?
A lot of mileage.
What the fuck?
I'm getting emails now. I probably got a half a dozen emails in the last week.
Subject line, the bald one must suffer.
And then they
why
list
must I suffer?
They list reasons why.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What are some of the problems?
A lot of times,
reasons?
Like, you talking nonsense on other podcasts and stuff.
What are you talking about?
Something about one that stands out in particular is you pontificating about documentaries, you see. And no one sets out to make a documentary just to show a subject. They always have something in it. They always have an agenda.
That's true.
No, it's not true. But anyway, so I got a...
did I say that?
A package that says the ball will must suffer from Joel. I'm just going to say Joel. He lives on Dongwei or something in Korea. I can only assume it's South Korea because it got to me.
That's true. I haven't got out of the country otherwise.
I open it up, and what is it? It's an actual burned DVD of Freeway 2.
Oh.
Takes a while to get over here.
I guess so.
But they really wanted you to see Freeway 2.
Good
which
news,
you have
Joel.
Done. You have done.
I've seen it.
All right.
Pleased to say.
Before we get into Flick Fashion, Brian, let's talk a little bit about the dumb characters we'll be talking about later today. I am not in love with this here topic.
Do you not come across enough fertile ground?
But let's see how you approached it.
Okay.
How did you approach it?
I had this conversation with someone earlier.
Should have been me.
Do you mean,
we probably should talk about it.
We don't talk for the show. They said, do you mean characters you're like, oh, that's such a dumb character, or like unintelligent simpletons? And like I said, these are characters who are simple, who are dumb. But the theory that I have, and we'll sort of see, at least in my list, you got to be smart to play dumb. You got to be smart to play dumb. And a good performance, what? Why are you laughing? Why are you moaning? It's just such a pretentious thing to say.
But go ahead.
It is?
Oh, yeah.
Why?
Well, a lot of people don't understand.
I didn't say they didn't understand it.
You got to be really
intelligent. Why do you read into things? You read so much into things. You bring so much of your own shit.
All right, go ahead.
About like old men with jowls sitting around
boardrooms.
You see that in your
white
mind's
men. Yeah, white men with jowls
and cigars.
That's Illuminati. Illuminati.
Fuckers.
That's the Illuminati right there. Yeah, yeah. They wear suits, 3-piece. Timepieces in that vest on a chain, Brian. That's what the evil devil looks like amongst us. It's like Bill Burr said in one of his old specials. He puts on a suit every now and again. He doesn't like it because he can feel the white evilness coming out of him.
What is wrong with you people?
He's like, let's go fuck over some dark colored people. As soon as he puts on the suit, he starts feeling it. So he goes.
That's
back
what white dudes say. Let's go fuck over some dark skinned people.
Okay, so I think that I approached it semi-similarly to you.
A lot of these dumb people played for laughs.
No, I didn't go with dumb characters. Like, that's just a stupid character. Mm-hmm. More on that later. And I didn't dare go down mentally challenged road.
No, me neither.
Okay, good.
Well, one brushes the edge, but. Okay. But you'll see.
More on that later. So, Flick Fashion, what have you seen, Brian? What have you seen? Let's do this flip-flop, too.
Oh, flip-flop style.
Yeah.
I was assigned a film.
Oh, that's right. Oh.
I'll go worst to first.
More on this now. There was a huge mix-up. Are we going to pay
this
off?
Oh, Logan. Oh, should we do it now at the gambling?
Let's do it at the end. Logan, for the 150th reason to be fired.
He's adding to his shitty resume.
Screwed up terribly on, was it last week's?
There's only one person that caught this. We could have just ignored it.
No.
Actually, someone tweeted me, but I was like, oh, this guy must have it wrong.
And it was more on that at the end of the show. We're not going to bore everyone with that now. So, what did I have you
see? There's controversy and it will be exposed.
What did I have you see?
So, I'm going to see a not good film.
Uh-huh. That means nothing so far to
could
anyone.
Be a classic considered by some.
Flash Gordon.
Flash Gordon.
Now, Flash Gordon is on front of your mind, where it's in the dark, deep recesses of mine, because it's been a long time.
It is from 1980. It is directed by Mike Hodges. Mm-hmm. This is starring Sam Jones, Melody Anderson, Max von Sydow, as you mentioned, as Ming, Chaim Topol.
The racist character, right?
Oh, absolutely. I wrote down in my notes, Ming, racist, question mark? And,
I thought you said absolutely. Now you're suggesting that you question mark.
Ornella?
Doesn't matter.
Ornella Muti, who, by the way, I looked up a picture of her today. Is at almost 60 years old. Good-looking lady. Those Mediterranean, Italian women hold up so well.
Is her husband around?
I have no idea.
Why are you whispering?
And Timothy Dalton. He's also in this. So, okay, what can I really say about Flash Gordon?
Kitschy.
Yes, campy.
Campy. But it knew it was campy, so it's okay.
That's the thing. Okay, I'll get to that in a second. I think the only way to like this film is either ironically, like you watch it and you're like Logan, you watch it and you're like, that's so silly, or you like it nostalgically.
Maybe
you're
like that's
Anderson,
how I like it,
you're like,
yeah.
I saw this when I was 6 or 8.
Just watching
or
the clips a couple weeks ago, I'm like, oh, this takes me back.
Yeah, I can see that. I don't think you can enjoy it any other way, though.
Now, tell me this, because it's been since I probably didn't have any pubic hair when I saw this last.
Okay.
When I saw the entire thing last. I was a kid. The part where he puts his hand in the rocks and there's that stinging scorpion, was it scary at all?
No.
No. Terrifying. Last time I saw
it. Yeah, no, it wasn't at all. Actually, you know what? Credit where it's due, that was the most suspenseful moment.
Okay, I thought it was done pretty well for that movie, recall.
It was for that movie the most suspenseful moment.
Okay.
So here's what I wrote down, or here's what I thought. So it vacillates wildly between like serious melodrama and like outright camp, like we mentioned before. And I can't tell if it's supposed to be awesome or funny, like if they're going for jokes at certain times, which they clearly are. Other times, trying to blow your mind, like which they clearly are. And then I came across this helpful quote, which I'll read to you from the screenwriter, Lorenzo Semple Jr. He said, Dino De Laurentiis, the producer, quote, Dino wanted to make Flash Gordon humorous. At the time, I thought this was possible. I thought it was a possible way to go. But in hindsight, I realized it was a terrible mistake. We kept fiddling around with the script, trying to decide whether it'd be funny or realistic. That was a catastrophic thing to do with so much money involved. I never thought the character of Flash and the script was particularly good, but there's no pressure to make it any better. Dino had a vision of a comic strip character treated in a comic style that was silly because Flash Gordon was never intended to be funny. The entire film got way out of control. And that really explained to me what's going on here, because there's a few decent, actual intentionally funny moments. Like, at one point, Timothy Dalton and another character are chained in a dungeon. They're chained, their hands are above their heads, they're hanging in a dungeon like you would see in medieval times. And you cut to the scene, and Timothy Dalton says to the other guy, Timothy Dalton, by the way, is an alien, and the other guy's from Earth. Timothy Dalton says to the Earthling, tell me again about this Houdini character. And that's kind of funny, given the fact that we just smashed cut into them being in chains. And then there was another one. They're trying to wipe the one guy's mind, or this mind control device to wipe all his memories away.
Yes.
And going through everything that's happened in his life.
Wish I could do that now.
And they go through, he has memories as a child of World War II and Hitler and all that stuff. And as soon as Hitler pops up on this screen, the thing he remembers, the aliens look and they say, now he had promise. That's a funny moment. I laughed at that.
I don't remember that.
But then there's
that is awful.
But those are mixed in with look how awesome this scene's supposed to be. And it's just,
well, I told you, I said last week when I brought it up, I guess it was last week, that they were shooting for was the campy Batman TV show.
Yes.
At the time.
At times, they for sure.
And
were.
That's what the objective was there, Brett.
So here's other things I wrote down. Here's
further down the rabbit hole that is Flash Gordon.
Here's other things I wrote down during the screening.
Could you
Flash
write less next time?
Flash helpfully wears a shirt labeled Flash. They seem remarkably unimpressed that they've crash landed on a distant planet. Like they crash land, like, all right, now what? Ming, a little race. No, this is absurd observations. Mm-hmm. Princess Aura, her one character trait is that she's horny. All she wants to do is like.
But she doesn't want to marry Ming.
No, she just wants sex. There's an intergalactic pillow flight,
which
is nice.
That wedding scene that I pulled up
that
last
was
week
great.
Was pretty funny, right?
Yeah. I laughed at that too, having already heard it last week, but it's pretty funny. Anyway, Flash Gordon, not good.
All right. Very good.
Very upset.
I got three solid movies worthy of talking about at least.
Okay.
Most recently, I saw a movie called Snowpiercer, Brian.
Snowpiercer.
Just saw this today, actually. Okay. So I have not had a chance to do a whole lot of research. As you know, I'm deathly afraid of reading too much about movies. I saw our friend Joey Shanks, though, over the weekend, since I saw you last.
Joseph Schenkenberg?
Yes, friend of the show, who's very talented, lots of promise. He's going to be, you know, you're going to see his name on credits of big movies soon. He's actually in town. He lives in North Carolina, in town out here for a bunch of, like, Sam Winston seminars and whatnot.
No, I mean, Joe's a talented dude.
Constantly moving forward. And he came and we had a couple drinks and we got to talking, and he was talking about Snowpiercer. Which I'd heard a bit about. Apparently, there's a whole other movie in there that the Weinstein brothers demanded to be cut out. They also really wanted a voiceover.
I don't know much about this. Set the scene.
Here's what it is. It's a post-apocalyptic, dystopian future movie, for sure. Really dreadful looking. Like, hard to watch, sad. And it is starring Chris Evans, though, which he doesn't really belong in that world, at least for what we know of Chris Evans thus far. You know?
I like Chris Evans, and I think he's an underrated actor. He was good in Sunshine, and he was good in he's been in a lot of things.
He was good in Captain
America.
He's
good in another teen movie. He's been good in a lot of stuff.
Who else is also in this? Tilda Swinton, as well as Mr. John Hurt. Now, it's a very interesting story, based on a 1982 graphic novel, which I can only imagine is pretty great to look at. It's supposed to be 2031. Actually, the first date you ever hear is July 1st, 2014, which is pretty cool. That was yesterday. That was a day, because I think it came out today, actually.
Okay.
And it's supposed to be, you know, we're dealing with global warming, and they've done some things to counteract it by putting stuff in the atmosphere, which just shut down the entire planet and made it frozen. So everything died.
Backfired.
And the only life left, now we move forward in 17 years in time, is 2031 now. The only life left is on this, I don't know if they ever said how many cars there are, but there's probably 100 cars, and it's a train that never stops going around the world. Odd, right?
Yeah. It's an interesting concept.
It's definitely inventive.
Okay. What are the cars for? Just to produce energy?
The cars
produce heat?
Essentially is all of humanity. All of living life, as far as we know.
Okay.
Live on this plane, on this train now. Okay.
Wow.
Right there, you have me sold. Like, I'm very interested. Okay.
Solid concept.
However, it was directed by a guy named Jun Ho Bang, who has made a couple other movies that you may have heard of, The Host and Mother. This is his first English language movie, which I think was fairly evident. Now, I learned this afterwards. I did my research. I read a little bit afterwards, and I realized, oh, this is in fact his first English language movie. Definitely tone issues throughout. Mm. Like, it's really dark, and then it tries to be campy funny, and it's back and forth.
Interesting.
And
parallels, I think that's my last look fashion.
Definitely, for sure. I think that's definitely has to do with maybe language barrier there on set. The train and the compartments are really, really cool. Like so it opens up obviously with the people that are in the back of the train, and those are like the poor fucks that have to like eat this gray bar, like black bar gelatin stuff. It's supposed to be a protein bar. That's all they get. Like, they are the peasants of the peasants. And you learn that
it's a class system.
It's a total class system. And you learn that this guy named Wilford is up at the top, at the front, almost like Wizard of Oz. And the plan from the get-go is to get to the front of the train and shut it down or take over, because they're tired of being at the back of the train and being treated like animals. And, you know, they have these Gestapo-type cops come back and just take their children up to the front. Felt very Terry Gilliam, not in the shooting style, but in the character styles, like Tilda Swinton. Right after I thought that, I actually wrote down Terry Gilliam, and John Hurt's character shows up, and he's got like missing limbs, and he's very old, and he's the old wise guy. Very, very Terry Gilliam, and his name is Gilliam. So, I mean, obviously an ode.
A nod.
Felt like 1980s. Like, if this movie was from 1985 or something, it wouldn't look as good because of today's technology and the CGI and whatnot, but I would like it a lot more. I would forgive it a lot more.
Is there a lot of CGI? Does it
every
like
time
it's
shot
train,
from outside, I mean, every time you get an overview shot, it looks like the goddamn Coors Light ad.
Polar Express?
Coors Light. Huh. Like, almost exactly like Coors Light. Like, it's busting through ice and stuff. I thought maybe they just took a clip from the Coors Light commercial. It could have been.
Ice Cube opened up a Coors Light.
Love Train. I don't know lyrics. But the biggest issue, the mind-numbing exposition, Brian. The mind-numbing exposition. At one point, a guy pulls out a cigarette, like, and somebody in the back is like, "Cigarette? They've been extinct for 10 years!" It's like, all right, we get that they're precious. Sure. And that, you know, but you're hearing things about there being like meat in the front of the train, and you know, much better things are in the front of the train. Without giving anything away, obviously you get to see the rest of the train eventually. However, we spend the first 45 minutes in these dreary back caboose area where it's like Mad Max and Brazil, Terry Gilliam's Brazil, but without the fun characters. Tilda Swinton's character is supposed to be funny, but she's funny in the same way that Banks is funny in Catching Fire. Elizabeth Banks.
Oh, yes, and the Hunger Games.
Hunger Games, yes. Over the top. It worked because the tone was kind of steady throughout in Hunger Games. I didn't love the tone, but here the tone is just all over the place. So I also would have forgave it if it was like a foreign language film. I think that some of the exposition wouldn't have felt as clumsy and whatnot. But, a lot to like here, but not enough. The amount of bad makes it almost impossible to forgive for the good.
The Snowpiercer's name of the train?
They never even really go into that. But yeah, you got to imagine assume, that's what it is. And then you get all your answers and you figure it out. But I can't remember seeing a movie with so many goddamn plot holes. They never even address where people go to the bathroom.
So are you saying there's another movie that was cut out of this?
From talking to our buddy Joey Shanks, who's been reading up on this movie for a while, I guess it was like a close to a 3-hour movie, and the Weinsteins made him cut it down to like a 2-hour movie. They wanted it might have been 3.5 hours, something ridiculous. Thank God it wasn't. And this definitely could have used a little voiceover to catch us up rather than all that horrible exposition. Like I said, John Hurt sitting there talking to Chris Evans. Is that his name?
Yeah. Yep.
It's just painful. It was like, all right, I'm sitting right here. It'd be better if they just looked, broke the fourth wall, and said, hey.
Talked right to you.
Yeah. Embarrassing. So Snowpiercer. A lot of people. This is a movie that I think Logs would like. This movie was not necessarily made for me, what I mean? And I'm not as forgiving as a lot of people will be. There's a lot of people that are going to probably like the Snowpiercer, but I'm not one of them.
All right.
Yeah. This is the movie you're supposed to gamble on instead of Transformers last week.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Why not Transformers?
Well, because there was a mistake with Transformers last week.
Wow.
Oh, yeah, because he gave us, remember, when mine fucked him.
seven votes or whatever it was. Here we go. Speaking of which, Transformers, Edge of Extinction, a.k.a. Transformers 4, a.k.a. Transformers.
God, I've seen 30% of these movies. That's embarrassing.
you saw one of the three?
I saw the entire first one.
It's a good one.
And like 15 minutes of the second one.
Okay.
And I walked out.
May have to see some more.
You remember that? I walked out.
You couldn't do it with the dog jumping?
Well, it was a man sitting next to me going, that really pushed me over the edge.
Yeah. It was his mouth breathing and laughing that was
the smell as well.
Transformers Edge of Extinction, it's in theaters now, is directed by a guy named, Michael Bay. So Mark Wahlberg is the new sort of lead in the cast, and his daughter is played by Nicola Peltz, and her love interest is Jack Rayner. They're the three least interesting people in the movie, yet we spend the majority of our time with them. Anderson, I know you're tuned out, but you have to at least listen to me.
I am listening to you. It's goddamn Dr. Drew is annoying me, okay? You must know. And he's panicking, and he's sick at home, puking into a bucket, and he's bugging me about stuff that's happening later. So I have to text the fucker back.
You want me to sit in for him?
The sad part, listeners, is Brian's 100% serious.
So these are the three.
And he would sit here, and he would smug his way through it, and it would be disgusting. It'd be hard to watch.
These are the three least interesting people in the movie, but we are stuck with them for 75% of the movie. However, the supporting cast, and I'm not being blinded by the fact that I love Transformers, the supporting cast is fantastic. Stanley Tucci, who directs everything he's great!
Michael Bay, have some naked pictures of him fucking farm animals?
He gets to play a great character. He plays the character so. He's like a Steve Jobs meets Tony Stark, style genius billionaire inventor. And he's great. He sends up the whole thing. Titus Welliver's in this. TJ Miller's in this, and he's great. All these guys are great, but we don't spend nearly enough time with them. Some of them are off screen rather quickly, which is sad. Okay.
Oh.
What?
This really does feel like class.
Why?
I just thought the teacher was going to say, all right, recess. And then I realized that you were going into this whole other level. When you shifted your weight, I'm like, oh no, it's continuing.
So I don't know if anyone's told you, it's getting about 16% on Rotten Tomatoes.
I heard it was 10%, and I heard that most of those reviews were even bad, but they begrudgingly gave it a positive somehow.
It's nowhere
kind of like my Snowpiercer.
It's nowhere near that bad of a movie. It is more like After Earth. Remember we saw that last year, and it was 11%.
I'm not going to agree with that.
You haven't seen Transformers, have you? Or have you?
No, I have not.
Well, then why would you agree with that?
Because I know the man's work, and I know what it's based on. And I've seen enough to know, Brian.
There are some problems with the script.
Brian, we have spent so much time. How long is this fucker?
I have another paragraph to go.
Movie itself.
The actual movie? 146 minutes.
Holy fuck!
2.5 hours.
Why? Does it need that?
No, it really doesn't. Here, the product placement, I've never, it takes it to a new level.
Do you understand why the disgust, and not just me, but the majority of our listeners?
I'm not
disgusted, Brian.
I'm aware of phrases that people saying they don't think about, like, it takes it to a whole nother level. The product placement is taken to another level. They've raised the bar of product placement.
What about Morgan Spurlock?
Is Spurlock being chased by robots? Does he crash his car through a Bud Light truck, spilling Bud Light aluminum cans all over the street? And when a motorist comes up to him and says, "You better be insured," instead of...
Does he say, "I have Geico"?
He says, "Chill out, buddy," and he basically opens up a beer and takes a swig.
Well, that's kind of cool.
That's pretty cool.
I kind of like that.
That's pretty brazen.
You're not allowed to show people drinking booze on TV.
It's pretty fucking brazen right there. Uh-huh. So the product placement is of another level. Okay, but Sarah, okay, back to the actual movie.
Must we?
Are you at least aware of the Dinobots?
Yeah, yeah.
The coolest thing.
I used to watch the cartoons and stuff when I was a kid, Brian. I was a fan.
That's what I'm saying. The only thing cooler than Transformers when you're 6 years old or wherever you were, 33.
I even like the Beast ones. What are they
Beast
called?
Wars?
Yeah.
Yeah. The only thing cooler than Transformers were dinosaurs. And the only thing cooler than Transformers and dinosaurs were transforming dinosaurs. Mm-hmm. And so when I saw the trailer, I'm like, fuck yeah, we're getting some Dinobots. Mm. I've waited 4 movies for this. Yeah. They're in the last 10 minutes of the movie.
You just ruined it for everyone.
Oh, please. Mm-hmm. They're in the last 10 minutes of the film. I'm like, where are my fucking Dinobots? I'm looking at my watch. I don't wear a watch, but I'm looking at where a watch would be. Where are my Dinobots? Dinobots in the last 10 minutes of the movie. And that's a metaphor for what's wrong in this movie. We don't spend enough time with the few cool things they give us. There's a few cool things in here. It's not worthless. It's a below average movie, but it's not a horrible movie.
That this movie is marketed and fed to many of the characters that we're going to have on our list later.
That is true.
I mean,
I'm just saying, there's enough cool things in here that you can stretch it out and make more of a movie out of it. It was disappointing to see the Dinobots relegated to
number two for me. Now this
Dinobots.
My last two movies, they're on par for both being interesting, but they're so different. It's up such apples and oranges here.
Transformers.
Got to tell you though, there's a movie called Code Black, which it's playing limited right now in theaters. It's a documentary, Brian, and it's fucking riveting.
Code Black.
Remember when you're a little kid, Brian? Code Black's the name of the movie. Code Black. When you're a little kid and you see like a movie, like or even a TV show like Chips or Starsky and Hutch. Like, I want to be a cop when I grow up. And you know, watch like some Backdraft. Like, being a fireman would be cool when you're a little kid. You know what
I mean? Of course.
Yeah. What was that for you? Like, I want to be a lawyer.
I want to be a Dinobot.
Well played.
Thank you.
I was lying just now. This movie makes me want to be an ER doctor.
Really?
And I'm serious.
No.
Quitting all this film bullshit. Going back to med school.
For some reason, I thought being a scientist would be cool when I was a little kid. Like I figured scientists were discovering things and inventing things all the time. It's really just a bunch of research.
This would have helped me 2 minutes ago. You said Dinobots, though.
Well, I did want to be a Transformer.
Code Black is a documentary all about L.A. County USC Hospital. I've come a long way with USC, with the wife being enrolled and all that. And this movie...
Ooh. This is foreshadowing my number three, by the way. Go ahead.
I would have soured on this movie just because of all the USC. I mean, it takes place at the USC hospital.
Okay, well.
Now, this is old edifice.
Can I set the setting for the listeners? USC County, LA County / USC Hospital is actually not on the USC campus. It's pretty far away. And it is
There's a lot of things like that throughout LA, though.
Right, but this is the county hospital that Adam Carolla always talks about when said, "Oh, you got a broken leg, just go to county." It's a fucking hellhole.
I went there for a root canal about 15 years ago.
It's a fucking black hole.
Now, that's what this movie's all about. Now, the old, I don't know if you're aware of this, but the
gunshot
old,
victims with nowhere else to go will go here.
Excuse me. Hold on, guys.
Don't do that.
I gotta unplug this.
Why would you? Black.
I don't know. So I could talk about Code Black, yeah. So I actually was at the old building probably about 10, 15 years ago. Now, in 2008, I believe it was, they shut down the main, the original hospital, Brian. Mm.
2008?
They have footage of 2008. It opens up with a gurney going on a helicopter. You know, there's a gunshot wound. And then, smash cut, it shows the ER room with about 30 swirling individuals all on their feet. Total, absolute chaos. You can't believe what you're looking at. Like, it just doesn't look real. Like, there's so many trained professionals all surrounding, like, one big, massively obese man who's got a couple gunshots. Let me tell you. It gets gory in the sense that they do crack this man's chest open. Mm-hmm. You see all the adipose tissue and whatnot. It didn't bother me nearly as much as I thought it would. I was bracing for eyes being punctured. There's the opening chest crack incident as well as like a chest tube later on, which kind of comes out of nowhere. Not a whole lot of lacerations. I was concerned about teeth being broke and whatnot. You don't get a whole lot of that.
Okay.
What you do get is you get to know these ER doctors, the new generation of ER doctors, and they talk not only about the advent of the emergency room, which was essentially created and invented in this fucking hospital, bro.
Really?
Back in 1930, is when it was built, and like by the 60s, 70s, they started like experimenting with it. What if we, you know, have a room that's just kind of devoted to people that are like in critical?
Yeah.
And they created this thing called C Booth, which it was called, and that's where all of these doctors too, like one in five doctors, learn how to be physicians in settings like this. With all that chaos going on.
You got to be a hell of a doctor. You have to know a little bit about everything.
And that's where Drew did a lot of shit, I think, at this, mm-hmm. the original one, Dr. Drew, that is the guy.
Well, he was a USC medical student.
So that would make sense. But then, nothing's up to code. Nothing's up to code. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's,
but they shut down that facility because of earthquake code violations, move them over to the new pristine facility, Brian. And that's when all the bureaucracy catches up, and it becomes more of a rallying cry for healthcare reform. But it doesn't get like overtly political. It's super interesting in a historical level, as well as like these are real doctors, and you see what they're doing, and they're good people. In fact, one of the guys, one of the main senior residents, his name's Ryan McGarry. He's the guy who directed this thing. And it's like so many really well made reality shows. Deadliest Catch always comes to mind. You get a really good sense of not only who the people are, but what it's like to be a fisherman. Both can be said about Code Black. I highly recommend this movie. It's fantastic.
Is it in theaters?
It's in theaters. You know, it's going to be, it's going to be on Netflix soon enough. Keep an eye out for Code Black. It's like right now it's only playing down at your shit theater.
Landmark?
The one that I hate. Yeah.
The Great Theater.
That's the only place that it's playing right now. So hopefully it gets a little wider release.
Jewel of the West Side.
But, you know, if it pops up, make sure you check out Code Black.
Okay.
Very interesting.
Interesting.
And also I wrote it up a little more cohesively on AndersonCowan.com.
Okay.
As well as the next one that I'm going to talk about.
So I saw a classic film. Saw a classic film that came up a couple weeks ago during Top 5 Wedding Scenes. It was on your list. I had not seen it since I was probably 15 years old. And here's the problem. So tell me if you did this thing when you were around that age. I was like, I'm very interested in film. I must see all the classic films, and I must educate myself as fast as possible. And when I was around 15, well, in that age range, I dove into like classic movies. To my detriment, because number one, I saw too many in too short a period of time, and I didn't remember a lot of them. And a lot of them were adult-themed movies, or at least movies aimed at people a certain age, and were just over my head for whatever reason.
What was the movie?
I saw The Graduate.
Oh.
Now, I've seen The Graduate, but it made almost no sense to me at the time, and now that I saw it as a 35-year-old adult...
What do you think?
It's a great movie.
It's fucking
I love
phenomenal.
It. But do you have movies like that where you're like, I saw one as a teenager and I probably didn't get everything out of it that I probably should have? Serpico is the one like that for me, where I remember almost nothing from it, but I remember being good. But my parents made me watch it. Maybe.
Right.
I watched it with them when I was like 15 or 16.
I'm sure there's like a Once Upon a Time in America.
Yeah, it's another
comes
one.
To line, mind.
I've what seen
I,
it, but what's,
I didn't. I didn't say like I have to see every movie, all these classics immediately and get educated. I would find an actor that I was obsessed with, most notably Robert De Niro, who had an expansive catalog, and I would just go and I would watch all of his movies in order, and I would learn about all these directors and other actors along the way, and then it would branch out from there, and it just became this giant fucking cluster bomb of movies that I ended up seeing on VHS. And a lot of them, I would slog through and go, oh, when's it gonna end?
Gotta go outside and skateboard or whatever it is.
Right. Yeah. My buddies would be like knocking at the back door. Let's go skate.
Let's go, Andy.
Watch him, Bobby D.
The Graduate is from 1967. Is directed by Mike Nichols. Anderson brought it up a couple weeks ago on Top 5 Wedding Scenes. Dustin Hoffman, of course, his big breakout role. And Bancroft, Catherine Ross.
You cry?
I didn't. It was a really good movie.
Just keeps you. It's just a solid movie.
So movies get ratings.
Solid.
It is a solid movie. Movies get rated based on how appropriate they are, you know, content wise, age appropriate they are. But then we should be rating movies based on like what time you should see them in your life. Like this is a good movie for someone just out of college or with a little bit of perspective, you know, having been out of college.
So you're saying there should be critics for like 10-year-olds, critics for 15-year-olds.
Not critics, but there should be a rating. There should be to see this movie when you're 25. This is a good 25-year-old movie because there's a lot of it's satirical. What did I write down? So it's subversive, it's satirical, it's very much, oh, you're out of college and now you're on with your life. And it's like, I barely know who I am or what I'm all about. And of course, there's this farcical thing where he has the affair with Mrs. Robinson and blah, blah, blah. It's very funny, very insightful, very sharp. I forgot it at all how funny it was. There's a weird part where Mr. Robinson says to his daughter, who Ben...
Robinson, Brian.
Yes, what's that? I said Robinson.
You said Robinson.
Oh, Mr. Robinson.
I'm just fucking with you. Okay. I wanted to correct you once.
The mouse died. He says to his daughter, Mr. Robinson does this to his young daughter, Elaine Robinson, when Ben asks her out on a date, or takes her on a date, he says, I want you to keep your wits about you. You never know what tricks Ben picked up back east. It's very like, okay, you're a pimp or fucking dead. And the movie does, if there's a weakness in the movie, it falls apart a little bit in the third act when it shifts to Berkeley. They fall in love a little too much, a little too fast, and the relationship kind of goes through too many ups and downs for one act. That said,
nitpicker.
Maybe in the novel, which was 1963, it was expanded upon a little more. That said, that's very easily overlooked. Oh, and the thing about USC, I was like, fucking, she goes to school at Berkeley in the movie, and I'm like, fucking Berkeley look a lot like USC. Mm. Back in the 60s, turns out they shot all the exteriors at USC.
Right.
So that was that for me. Anyway, it's a very easy thing to overlook. This is a really good movie. You can get it on, you can stream it on Netflix. I encourage everyone to watch it, The Graduate.
You seen that, Logs?
Yeah, it's one of my favorites.
Yeah, yeah, good. I was going to say, I think that pretty much everyone could like
it. And to Brian's point, I saw it right when I was in college, too, so.
Uh-huh.
It makes a little more sense.
Yeah, I couldn't appreciate it early high school.
Mm-hmm. It's a nice time capsule movie, too. It really depicts that era, I think, pretty well.
It's weird, too, because they do shoot a lot of street scenes in Berkeley when he goes to find this girl, young Mrs. Robinson, young Elaine Robinson. And it's like, oh, this is released in 1967, meaning they probably shot it in 66 or somewhere around there. This is like right before the Summer of Love, which Berkeley was the epicenter. So this is right when that whole thing is burgeoning. There's a whole counterculture going on. It's bubbling under the surface. It's very, very interesting. I think that was going on right there at that time.
Saw a movie that's coming out in a couple weeks, Brian.
Thanks for considering that.
Well, a simple yes. It is a great time capsule movie would have been suffice.
I decided to expand.
I like your little baby water bottle.
Not my little my teardrop.
What is that, 8 ounces?
Mm-hmm. This has got to be 200 milliliters.
Okay, here
236 milliliters. 8 ounces!
Saw a movie that's coming out, buddy. And I know my liquids. And a couple weeks, I was lucky enough to see a screening of this movie because I've been excited about it and interested, intrigued even, Brian, about Boyhood for quite some time now. Boyhood. Boyhood.
Thank you.
Let me jog the memory there, Brian. Richard Linklater's experimental film, to say the least.
The one that takes place over several years.
12 years he shot Boyhood. Which is experimental. Now, there is that 7-Up documentary series, which I've never seen, but they take the same characters.
Do you ever have any desire to sit down and watch the whole
series? My brother loved it. I don't know. You know what lost me? I'm talking about 7-Up now. Is it called 7-Up?
It is. It's the Up series.
The Up series. Yeah, 7-Up, 14-Up, 21-Up.
They check in with kids every 7 years.
Like, there's like... Kind of like Worm's character in... what the fuck?
In Rounders?
Rounders, yeah. Like they don't
some
get back
the
to
handle.
Them. I don't know if they die or they can't find them or they're no longer interested in being documented any longer. But anyways, all that aside, Boyhood, Richard Linklater's... Now, Richard's a funny guy, Richard Linklater, talking about... 1 minute, he's making a movie that I can't shut up about, like Tape or Dazed and Confused, holds up, fucking great. And the next minute, he's desecrating the Bad News Bears. You know what I mean?
That's true.
So... Or he's doing like Schoolhouse Rocks, which I could live without. Mm. I could live without that.
Is it School of Rock? Or
That's how much I care. Yeah, School of Rock, I believe it is. But this movie is exceptionally slow. 2 hours, 45 minutes.
Ooh, like Transformers.
Maybe 2 hours, 46 minutes. Yet I was never bored.
Like never Transformers.
Bored. Never bored, Brian. It opens with the shot that everyone's seen on the poster, or you will see eventually. I hope this movie gets a little bit of love. It's going to be tough to market, and it's so goddamn long. But it opens up with see the kid laying there on the grass.
Yep.
And his mom, Patricia Arquette, comes to pick him up. And she's 12 years ago, Patricia Arquette. Probably 13 years ago, Patricia Arquette.
Wow.
So it's really fun watching her character do this arc and, you know, go up and down and change in weight and change in looks and hairstyle. It was really fun watching that. And it doesn't, obviously you don't have to use any makeup. It was really fun. This kid was so cute and so great. Unfortunately, gets a little bit mopey, both himself as an actor and the character by the end. But we start when he's 6, finish when he's 18. And I don't know if you're like a time period Nazi like I am, Brian.
Meaning what?
I mean, like, I watch movies and it's like if it's supposed to be mid-70s and like they got the kid, either they overdo it. Like, look, he's playing with a slinky because it's 1975. That was a big year for...
Okay,
or,
I know.
Or they'll be sloppy about it. And it's like, I don't think that they had
Slinky's in 1968.
Right, yeah.
Maybe they did, but you
I was doing that a couple times with this movie, with like a little things that they... And they weren't like... He wasn't pointing the camera directly at these things, but I was doing... I caught myself doing it. I'm like, wait a minute. I don't have to fucking question that. It's definitely of the era because it was shot in that era.
It was shot then.
Rich and Linklater got the crew together. Ethan Hawke is the third main member, and once a year they would shoot some scenes. And it, really subtle transitions, too. He wasn't, like, hitting you over the head, saying, all right, next year.
Year has passed.
Like, you know, there'd be a scene, and then it would cut to, like, you know, something going on later on that day. You think at first, you're like, oh, fuck, he's a year old. Everyone's a year older. Look at this. So super interesting that way. When you've seen a lot of movies, it's rare that you see something completely original. And the storyline, not reinventing the wheel, but the way he told the story, definitely he's reinventing the wheel here. And it's got some decent drama, some very realistic drama. And it's kind of like looking at like somebody's photo album, but like in a motion picture sense.
Huh. All right.
Really cool.
Is this playing in my theater, too?
Mason is a casual observer throughout, too. That's another problem that I kind of had was the main character, Mason,
okay.
The kid, he's not a real boisterous, active participant in life. He's one of these quiet, introverted observers, which you'd normally, another one of these restricted narratives where we're not really anywhere unless Mason's there. We're always with Mason. And Mason's not much of a firecracker. And at some point, okay, this is going to be an odd suggestion to everyone listening, but don't be concerned about a car crash coming.
Meaning what?
Meaning, and I had a constant fear of a car crash, and it never happens. There's never a car crash. But the reason being, I couldn't understand the title, Boyhood, because it was just about, as much about his sister, who was slightly older, than it was about him. And that sister, Samantha, played by Lorelai Linklater, who is actually the director's daughter, and she was just as good, if not better, than the boy. And I'm like, something's going to happen to this kid, like you're three or four or something.
Yeah, why is she an expendable character?
So every time they're in the car, I'm like, fuck, this is it. Because I don't like car crashes in movies.
Sure, of course.
They catch me off guard. So
they're harrowing.
It was problematic at times. Guys, she doesn't get in. There's no car accident.
Okay.
Don't worry about that. Okay?
So sort of a weird spoiler. One thing to not look out for.
Planes don't fall from the sky and kill her.
The Earth doesn't collide into the moon.
I was going to say the Earth doesn't open up and Satan doesn't come pull her down.
We could spend all day talking about things that don't happen.
Things that don't happen. But it kind of ruined some of the ease of just enjoying watching these characters. Ethan Hawke, he's great. I think he was wearing like a bridge in his teeth or something.
Really?
Weird. Like, yeah, he was a little bit off or something off. But a solid movie and a lot of truths as far as like relationships and whatnot go. And I recommend it. I know 2 hours, 46 minutes might be
daunting.
But I can guarantee you this. You've never seen a movie like it.
Do you like it better than Code Black or is it just different movies?
Apples and oranges, really. I think that I'm probably going to remember things I learned in Code Black for sure. You know, 10 years from now, I don't know if I'm going to be like remembering the story arcs here.
Okay.
Or how Patricia Arquette changed. It was great seeing Patricia Arquette from 12 years ago, though. But I was also thinking about this poor fucker, this kid in the movies. In the movie, L.R. Coltrane, that's his name. L.R. Coltrane, who was very good, especially when he was a little kid. He's really good.
L.R. being the initials?
E-L-L-A-R. I don't think he was a type, like, if it was you, Brian. Imagine six-year-old Brian Bishop getting cast.
Glorious head of hair.
Yeah, imagine this, Brian.
You see me balding over the course of 12 years?
You shoot for a couple weeks, right, with all these big stars and whatnot. You go back to class. Your classmates just hear this. I'm in a movie. I just shot for 2 weeks.
We won't see it again for 12 years.
And everyone's just like, fuck you, you're in a movie. You're not in a movie, like, every single year.
How's that movie coming along?
How's the movie coming?
Hey, Mr. Movie Star.
12
most
years.
You're elected most likely to star in a movie.
Now it's finally out. Can you imagine the anticipation of him and his family?
The ultimate I told you so.
And plus, I don't know, you know, I looked a little bit. I didn't find any evidence that would suggest that he wasn't allowed to be in any other movies along the way. But I've never, actually, you know what? When we come back after the break, I'll let you know if Eller is. I didn't look that up. Perhaps he has been in other movies. I've never seen him.
Coming up next.
Eller.
Information on whether or not Eller's in other movies. And the top five.
Boyhood.
Top five dumbest characters. Next. Anderson, I should have seen this coming. But I think the uniform, the accessory, the theme of this year's 4th of July, you know what it's going to be. America. Back-to-back world champs. Lots and lots of back-to-back World War champs being purchased. Men's sleeveless T-shirts, tank tops, caps, all sorts of accessories, sunglasses.
How does that work?
What do you mean?
Do the sunglasses like say back-to-back?
Yeah, they have. They're emblazoned.
How do I not own this?
Why don't I own
Someone
this?
Owns this. A bunch of people, actually. I'm not kidding you. A shitload of people bought Merck, a back-to-back world champs gear. For
all right, I'm going to Europe. I think like when my wife graduates, like in a year and a half.
That'd be great.
That's when I'm going to wear all that gear.
You absolutely should. Yeah. You go to France. Just an F everywhere you go. Mm-hmm. By the way.
As soon as anyone speaks French to me, I just go, what the fuck? I'm an American. Speak American.
Turn the music off. If I can make a request, great. If I can make a request to our listeners.
Not your fault.
If I can make a request to our listeners, if you see anybody, any holiday 4th of July parties, would you please take a picture of someone wearing back-to-back World War Champ t-shirt? Because I would love to, any gear, hats, t-shirts, I would love to see somebody actually wearing that in person. Also bought Apple iPhone 4S.
Also bought.
Also purchased on the Amazon.com click-through. Also purchased the Amazon click-through Apple iPhone 4S, 64 gig, a Samsung Galaxy S for Virgin Mobile. I didn't realize Virgin Mobile is still around. Oh, maybe it's international. Someone got a very cool graphics monitor. It's a monitor you can actually write on with a digital pen, so you can make notations on your actual monitor. What is this here? Oh, a quadricopter. It's a flying camera with four blades. You can take crane shots.
I know exactly what that is. It's pretty goddamn sweet.
2 pounds of raw cashews were purchased. Military energy gum. Boom. This is caffeinated gum. I didn't realize that. I mean, it makes sense. I didn't realize it sold such things. Homebrew beer labels for 12-ounce bottles. Games. People are playing games. 4th of July, someone bought a paddleball set for $6. Cornhole bag set. And something I did not realize existed. This is pickleballs. They look like wiffle balls, but they are approved by the International Federation of Pickleball, the IFP. It's actually approved. This International Federation. Something about pickleballs. An electrical trainer.
Wait a minute. What the fuck's a pickleball?
They look like wiffle balls, but they're big and they're orange. And they're from the
trademarks.
They're approved by the International
Federation. All right, I heard that part. I just don't understand it.
An electrical trainer, and someone got a outdoor tankless water. Thank you for buying all your weird shit through Amazon.
Put it back in two now so I can hear my music. Because I'm a little bitch. It's the same deal with hearing music while he reads.
Movie time.
Here are the movies that were clicked through. Notable movies worthy of talking about. The Hobbit, The Desolation of Smug.
Smaug.
Still, I think my favorite movie of the year, Brad. Finally available on DVD and digital. Lego Movie. Lego Movie
Multiple
HD.
Multiple copies purchased.
They Came Together was purchased there.
Do you know anything about that? Oh, it's a new it's video on demand.
Oh yeah, it's the one that's in theaters right now.
Yes, and it's a spoof on romantic comedy.
Doesn't look fun, but I will let you know.
I've
soon.
Been hearing a lot of good things.
Kindergarten Cop was I'm trying to get a manicure. I mean, everyone likes to go with the it's not a tumor right. line.
I like to go with that line.
I'm trying to get a manicure. It's pretty goddamn strong. It's pretty strong by Alabama. Bama. That's the actor's name up there in that movie.
Okay.
He's Brian.
What?
Do you understand who he is?
Alabama.
Tyson. Is that his name? Tyson. Alabama Tyson. Alabama Tyson.
I don't remember who you're talking about.
I'm talking about Buddy Revelle from 3 o'clock High. Buddy Revelle, 3 o'clock High. That's the same guy. He's the bad guy in Kindergarten Cop. Same dude, Buddy Revelle.
Nope.
Brian, don't tell me no. I used to get fucking hammered with this guy. I know this guy. He's
okay,
awesome.
He might be in the movie. He's not the ponytailed bad guy.
He's the same fucker.
Okay.
Look at you. Right now, you think you're right, and you think I'm wrong. And
wait, Buddy Revelle is who?
Buddy Revelle. Is the same guy.
No, Buddy Revelle is who?
3 o'clock High.
Oh, okay. You are right. I'm confusing him. I thought you meant the guy from...
You have cancer?
Yeah, I do. It's not a tumor. Hey!
And finally, Pacific Rim was bought Blu-ray style. Sorry that was so choppy there, kids. Sorry that was so choppy. I got enraged with Brian.
Again.
Logan, how many times are you going to buy that fucking abomination of a piece of shit?
As long as we keep doing Amazon reads.
Okay. Thanks for clicking through. We appreciate it.
It's like an anti-ad right there.
Back to the show! Hello, this is Dave Damashek, and you're listening to The Film Vault on AndersonandBryan.com, a great podcast, much better than my own. Yeah. Welcome back. You like that fuzzy sound, Anderson? You like that fuzzy sound you hear?
I do. It's crunchy.
That's Octopus Caveman. Thanks, Octopus Caveman from L.A. You can find them AndersonandBryan.com. More information on Octopus Caveman. They are featured artist of the week.
I like the name.
Yeah. We appreciate the submission, fellas. Or ladies. I assume fellas.
Sounds a little bit like a band that I used to love called Morphine. I still do love them.
Morphine's a good band.
He's just dead.
He died?
Yeah, the singer died.
I didn't know that.
OD'd on Morphine.
Oh, shit. Sweet irony.
It's not true. Wow. Not true, but he did die.
Okay. Top 5 dumb characters. Top 5 idiots. Top 5 simpletons.
Mm-hmm.
Top 5 dummies.
Mm-hmm.
What do you find about Eller?
Oh, Eller has been in four other films.
Please stop texting Drew.
Movies. Drew is doing all he can to ruin this episode. I'm going to start texting him repeatedly.
Just come on the show.
When he's on Headline News tomorrow. Because he keeps his fucking phone on. He's let me know that.
Really?
I shouldn't have said fucking right then. That was egregious.
Yeah.
That was gratuitous.
Cut it out.
Yeah, Logan, mark it. I'm going to cut that out.
No, or bleep it.
Yeah, Eller has been in like four other movies that I've never seen. Or TV shows.
Okay.
Lone Star State of Mind.
Mm-hmm. Not a real thing.
Young Earl.
False.
Faith and Bullets.
Don't know what that is.
Played Thomas Channing. Fast Food Nation, which I have heard of. Did not see.
Played
Jay Anderson. And Hallettsville.
Oh, right. The great Hallettsville. Mm-hmm. Anderson, top five dumb characters.
Yeah.
And did you participate?
All right. Fuckhead Drew. There you go.
My characters are divided amongst those played for laughs and those played for... They're tragic. They're tragically dumb.
All right.
Why jail? Does that come up later? Am I spoiling anything?
Yeah, right. Okay, live in your world.
All I see is a giant thing in green ink said jail, okay. Underlined.
The bald one will pay.
Bald one must pay.
The bald one will suffer.
Bald one must suffer.
Okay, yeah. So I didn't do any like just dumb characters. Like, otherwise, Jar Jar Binks would be like everyone's number one, probably. Right? Because I mean, that's just he's just a dumb character, and he sullied something that could have been possibly good.
That's true.
Dumb character.
I'm glad you and I are on the same page.
He's also a dumb.
He is also a dumb
creature.
Yes,
yeah,
true.
But no creatures, no ladies. Shocked. I was going to be a dick and make all five ladies because I could have easily done that.
I have two ladies.
Could have done it.
You have no ladies?
No chicks.
Wow.
I decided to do them a solid this week.
Okay.
Yeah. No dumb chicks.
You're not representing.
Also, as I said earlier, no mentally challenged. So no Forrest Gump.
Okay.
Forrest will not be on my list.
So you think Forrest is mentally challenged, or is he just
slow? Totally. He's not treated. He's treated with respect.
Okay, then you're going to have a problem with one of mine.
Okay. But he's different than most mentally challenged people that are illustrated, depicted in movies, such as, Dumb and Dumber.
Right.
That's another problem that I have with us doing this, this dumb characters, Brian. Okay. Is Dumb and fucking Dumber 2 is coming out soon, and I hope that people don't think that we're basing it around that.
I think that we just explained them or not.
I might have been texting Drew. And also Robert De Niro's character is Bruce Pearson in, what's the name of that movie? God, it's Bang the Drum Slowly. So good.
Is he dumb in that movie?
He's like pretty much mentally challenged.
Okay.
But once again, treated with reverence and respect. Much like Forrest Gump.
I'm glad you brought up Forrest Gump because I do not have him on my list. But can I point out that I think he's a great dumb character because...
See, I would never call a mentally challenged person dumb.
I don't think he's mentally challenged. I think he has a low IQ.
Forrest Gump is a retarded person.
You think he's retarded?
Yeah.
Okay.
Brian, look at him in the beginning sitting on the goddamn bench. Just look at that still picture.
He's happy.
You don't know
as
Tom
be.
Hanks. You don't know Forrest Gump. You don't know Tom Hanks. Look at that person. Walk by that person with their goddamn box of chocolates and their running shoes and their suit and the haircut. That's a retarded person.
It was 1985.
That's a mentally challenged person sitting there, Brian.
Okay, either way.
He can't even sit without being pigeon-toed. He was pigeon-toed, as
so
I said.
The reason Forrest is a great character is because he goes through his life blissfully unaware of his condition or how dumb he is or whatever you
as
want to say.
As many do. Yeah.
But the great thing is...
well illustrated in that movie Charlie that I love so much and Flowers for Algernon because it's a mentally challenged dude.
But he gets his moment.
Becomes smart and realizes how dumb he was. He was too dumb to know.
But much like... Forrest Gump has a little bit of that in him because
I just totally contradicted myself.
No, I know. But there's that great moment. There's a great moment towards the end where he reveals ever so slightly that he knows. He knows he's dumb and he's like, it's my kid.
Because of Jenny too, right?
Well, because he gives you that your son Forrest is like, is he smart or is he like, and he can't get the words out, but he's like,
you're going to make me cry right now.
It's so heartbreaking because you're like, oh, this guy who we've not laughed at, but we've laughed with, he's gone through his life so blissfully unaware of how lucky he is and how much people just are drawn to him and how people, he's a lovable character. He knows. It's so heartbreaking. And you have that moment where you're like, he knows, he understands.
I guess what I was getting at is I didn't put mentally challenged on my list because I think it would just be disrespectful to suggest that they're dumb. Just for the sake of, I don't know, they got a condition.
I totally agree.
You should have called them dumb.
Agree with you. The one that I put on my list, we'll have a conversation about whether they're dumb or mentally challenged. I think my character.
I know that I contradicted myself by talking about Flowers for Algernon and Matthew Modine's character, Charlie, realizing how dumb he was. Mm-hmm. I shouldn't have said that. How delayed he was. Mm-hmm. There we go.
Slow.
Delayed. Don't be dumb. Same thing.
Number five. You want me to go first because I have a clip, or do you want to?
Forrest Gump would be probably my top 10 all-time movies. Top 25 for sure. If they
it
cut
really
that
is
fucking running out of there. The running,
like
just
the running?
Made it absurd, made it ridiculous.
It did drive a point home that didn't need to be driven home anymore.
It was too much. It was completely unnecessary, and it made the movie cartoonish.
I agree with you to an extent. Mm-hmm. It was overkill. It was heavy-handed. It was like, all right, we get it. He's dealing with a charmed life.
Why don't you go first?
Logan, there, you got my clip ready? I'll call for it in a second. So the title character in Zoolander is very obvious. Mm. Derek Zoolander, played by Ben Stiller, the director of 2001 Zoolander. Mm-hmm. Very dumb. Mm. He's a male model. He's a himbo. He's a male bimbo. But that said, my favorite dumb character from Zoolander, Hansel.
Yes.
He's so hot right now. Hansel McDonald. He's so hot right now, played by Owen Wilson. He's his rival. He's Zoolander's rival in the male modeling world. And mostly I love his character because you never know what the hell he's talking about. Logan, roll the clip. This is Hansen talking. He's in an awards ceremony. He's getting an award for best new male model, hosted by Linda Kravitz. And they roll a pre-produced piece where Hansel's talking about himself.
I wasn't like every other kid, you know, who dreams about being an astronaut. I was always more interested in what bark was made out of on a tree. Richard Gere's a real hero of mine. Sting. Sting would be another person who's a hero. The music that he's created over the years, I don't really listen to it, but the fact that he's making it, I respect that. I care desperately about what I do. Do I know what product I'm selling? No. Do I know what I'm doing today? No. But I'm here, and I'm going to give it my best shot.
There it is. Hansel is a brilliant character, and God, when he talks about spider monkeys off the coast of St. Bart's and getting all high and shit, it's fucking brilliant. Zoolander makes the plot go, and as such, he's maybe on screen a little too much. We get just enough of Hansel. We get just enough. Owen Wilson, number five for me.
Yeah, that's another thing, is that we're not going for the dumbest, obviously.
Right, not the five dumbest. My five favorite dumb characters.
Ben Stiller's more dumb or stupider.
Yes, clearly.
More dumb or stupider than Hansel. All right, number five for me, Brian. Going big here. Mm. Going large, but it's definitely worthy. He's worthy. Talking about Thomas F. Wilson, who evidently is the nicest
good
guy.
Good call.
Nicest guy
never
working today. I've never met Brian.
No, I thought he was on Loveline or something.
We've never had him on
a couple times.
Anne's never heard of him. But I apparently...
Biff?
Well, okay, here we go. Biff from Back to the Future. 1985's right. Back to the Future. We're talking about Bully Biff, who he knows all about about mixing metaphors, and he's
malapropisms.
Illustrated as being stupid throughout the movie, mm-hmm. as well as a bully, and that could be why he's a bully.
That's right.
And he's an awesome character who I love, who stands out in my mind. I think we all know Biff.
Make like a tree.
And leave.
Get out of here. No, you did it right.
I know, I did it right. It's so
You're
hard.
You're so smart, you can't do it.
That's about as funny as a screen door and a battleship. Yeah. He mixes all his metaphors up. He's just a big, dumb lug. And he pulls it off so well. And Mike Carano, a friend of mine, who many of you know his name, talks about how he's the nicest person he's ever
he's a nice
met
guy.
In show business. Thomas F. Wilson. I would love to see him do some stand-up. He still does stand-up.
He does. I've seen him.
Around town.
He's very good.
And I would like to see that.
He has some funny stories about Crispin Glover, which you would appreciate.
Oh, yeah.
But Biff is a great dumb character, especially throughout the trilogy. Like Biff the cowboy and Biff, Mad Dog Tannen the cowboy, and then, you know, old Biff. And these are great characters.
And all the different nominations, the different versions that he had to play because of all the things that happened in history and how he turned
future
out at the
Biff.
End. Future Biff, when he's businessman, and when he's washing the truck.
No, that's alternate universe of Biff. Future Biff is the young one that rides with the helmet, you know, with the extended bat with the young thugs in like 2005.
That's so fun to hover.
That's right, the
hoverboards. No, but the alternate universes, which is they're all future.
It's actually back in the present. It's 85. It's the alternate.
Hey, you're right.
Back
but it gets confusing. It's mind bending.
It is.
Yes. Even a movie as simple as Back to the Future is mind bending because of the goddamn time continuum.
You know what's amazing? The fact that you accurately described it as simple. Back to the Future, I think, is so incredibly complicated, but it's so incredibly well done.
Right.
That it seems simple, and that's just brilliant.
And for a lot of us, especially people, you know, in
try
our
drawing out the threads of the movie.
That's our first real, except for maybe Time Bandits, but they don't explore the meaning of time travel nearly extensively as Back to the Future. For most of us, it's the first time that we ever tried to wrap our brains around time travel and how it would affect everything and the thread and create alternate universe. It was mind-bending at the time, but it's so beautifully put together that it could, you know, these characters. Biff will probably go see Back to the Future and enjoy it, despite the fact that he's in it. You know what I mean? He'd probably still enjoy it. That's why now they used to make really smart, good movies that everyone could enjoy.
God, that was such a great...
They make Trans-fucking-Farmers!
Four. Can I just point out that how great it is they have not remade it? They have not remade Back to the Future?
Give them time.
Totally holds up.
Give them time.
Number four for
me. We got to do a reboot.
They were going to with, I think it
Eric
was
Stoltz?
Justin Bieber was trying to.
No.
Yeah, play. I remember
is that.
That
true?
I never got confirmation on that being an actual.
Talk to Joey Shanks.
Thing.
Apparently knows what's going on in Hollywood.
What?
Apparently Joey Shanks is the fucking insider of Hollywood now.
Why is that?
Because he's getting all sorts of information. Wasn't he getting all sorts of info in the last movie you talked about?
He was very interested in that Asian movie, yes, that was made over. It was not made in Hollywood, Brian. Joey's in the know.
Why default to no?
That's how I roll.
Number four
for
me. I
just didn't think that it was that good of a call.
Number four, Starscream. No. Number four for me is...
I don't think we're going to have any crossover.
We probably won't. I have two ladies coming up on my list.
I should also say that this is one of the first lists in a long time where these are all just completely organic out of the brain. I mean, I did some research to make sure I didn't miss any, but these are all just ones that I came up with without doing any digging.
Good point.
Didn't have to do any digging.
I think you're actually. I think that's actually true for me. You know what's?
And I found a bunch of lists out there, and I didn't like the lists.
I was talking to this person I was talking to before the.
Didn't agree with the list.
Before the show was like, oh, did you think of
who is this mystery person?
It's Matt Fondelier from the Corolla Show. He's an assistant over at the Corolla Show. I don't know if he's assisting. He's
please stop talking to other people about our program before it's aired.
Well, he hosts a movie show, so I like talking movies with him.
Does he do it over there?
No, he's independent.
Okay, that would have felt like. I don't know, like an ex-girlfriend just fucking a new dude.
No, I just talked to him. I was talking about what's coming out the Film Vault this week because I think he listens from time to time. Anyhow.
What's up, Matt Shankenhard? What's his name?
Matt Fondelier.
I was way off.
Wow.
I'm bad with names.
He brought up a character. I was like, God damn, it's a great one. I wish I had that on my list. It was Dory
Brian.
from it's not. It's a woman. It's Dory from Nemo.
That's a good one, but she's not dumb. She just has a brain
dumb.
Problem. No, she has a brain issue where she can't.
What is
that?
What is being dumb?
She has a short-term memory issue, Brian. That's not dumb. That's very different. That's like brain damage, Brian.
It's a dumb character.
Oh, Christ. You know what? It wasn't too late because we hadn't done the episode, so you could have easily adjusted your list for Matt Fondelier. What's his name?
Shankenberg?
What's his name? Matt Fondelier?
Fondelier?
Yeah, it was closer that time.
Like Fondler, one who fondles?
You know what's really odd about me, and this is probably dull for everybody else, but hockey players, I can... As soon as I hear about them, especially if they're like, you know, coming to my team or if there's a rumor or, you know, I know probably 200 names, maybe 300 names of present day hockey players.
And those are like foreign crazy names.
Yeah. 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 But like actors' names, nearly impossible, Brian.
Not to mention that you probably have met Matt several times in the time we were over at Corolla's.
Probably true.
Oh, is it, he's old school?
No, yeah. But
he was there a few months before I was gone. He was like Adam's assistant
it's Matt.
At the podcast.
Yeah, of course. Matt, he broke his arm. Hey, how are you, Matt?
Oh, that's a different guy.
No, he broke his arm.
The
right?
guy broke his arm is a different guy.
I think so.
That was
he
Scoots.
He broke his arm for sure.
Wasn't that?
Oh, that was Scoots.
Why couldn't we have just gone with, yeah, he broke his arm. Good call.
This is not him.
He doesn't listen. Let's go.
Number four for me is the one you're going to give me trouble for. I always viewed this character as just low IQ, just slow and needs to be helped along in life. But now that you bring up the retarded thing, now I do feel kind of bad for putting Lenny, played by John Malkovich in Of Mice and Men, on my list.
Yeah.
Because he just wants to pet the rabbits. He could be retarded.
He's clearly mentally challenged.
God
clearly.
Damn it. Now I feel terrible. Back then, in the 1920s, they probably, in the Great Depression, when he and George were looking for work.
They wouldn't know what it is.
They wouldn't know what
then.
That was.
He was simple.
He was just a simple man.
Mm-hmm.
And John Malkovich.
One that likes to crush little mice.
Of Mice and Men, 1992, directed by, that's right, he does. He doesn't know his own strength. He's a monster. 1992, directed by Gary Sinise. I could have been a real hipster snob and gone with a 1939 black and white version of this movie,
which I've actually seen. Oh, you have? Cool.
They're both very similar, of course, based on the 1937 book by John Steinbeck. This one, of course, is a little more accessible. I would say, you know, being the fact that it's from 1992, it's in color, it has actors you'd recognize. This was actually nominated for the Palme d'Or at the 1992 Cannes Film Festival.
It felt like a play.
I didn't think much of the movie.
Gary Sinise and his pinched features. Didn't like it.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
didn't think much of it.
Did you read the book back in the day?
Yeah, I read the book. I think we might have talked about it on this year's show. Logan, do you have to read that book there in school? Did they make you
read
it?
Yeah, I had to read it.
Yeah.
I actually like that book a lot.
It's not a bad book. It's a good book.
The relationship
like
is
the
so sweet. It's so tragic at the same time.
Don't get me wrong. I love the book. But the cover of my book had rabbits on it, which never came into play.
I don't think
it's a metaphor. No, it's a metaphor. For the perfect life, for that perfect life on the horizon. We're going to go pet the rabbits, George?
Oh, okay. All right.
He wants to go pet the rabbits.
I guess what it was I was confused at the time before I read it. I'm like, it's called Love, Mice, and Men, and there's rabbits on the cover.
Oh, okay.
And men.
I gotcha.
Rabbits and men.
Now the rabbits are that.
I had a client.
Unattainable perfect life.
I might have brought this up as well, but I had a client, same client that freaked out in the movie theater. I used to take him to movies when I was working with the mentally challenged individuals and independent living. Yeah. And he was telling me that he used to have goldfish. He's not allowed to have them anymore because he would take them out of the bowls and squash them.
Ew.
Yeah, just squish them. And one time he got really mad at the lady that he was living with, and he took all the rotary phones back in the day, all the rotary phones, filled up buckets of water, and just dunked all the rotary. He just put them at the bottom of the buckets with the water. The mind works mysterious ways, Brian, when you're simple.
I guess it does.
See, that guy wouldn't be on my list.
Obviously, that guy has a disability.
Like, if you were to look at his brain, you could, like, see physical issues, whereas, like, somebody who's just dumb, okay. You know, a dumb person. Yeah, I think you could see, like, their brain would look like my brain.
Okay, well, John Malkovich is my only character you can make the case for him being mentally disabled. The rest of them are just dumb.
He is.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. That's a good point.
Number four for me, Brian. Oh, I like this one. This is a good one. I've brought up Beverly Hills Cop before.
You have.
Judge Reinhold, Brian, is Detective Rosewood.
Oh, is he dumb?
Wow.
Billy? Is Billy Rosewood dumb?
You know, it says
he's naive.
It says here that by the time the average American is 50, he's got 5 pounds of undigested red meat in his bowels.
Well, it's a fun fact. It's a fun fact.
He is simple. He is a dumb person.
He's naive.
He is hilarious.
He's hilarious.
And he was definitely written as a dumb person. Naive, Brian, he's beyond naive.
He's childlike.
He's very
childlike innocence.
He's a dumb person, and he's a great character, and he spans all three of them. And I love me some Judge Reinhold, whether it's
bring him back
as the honorable Judge Reinhold on Arrested Development, or as the beating off Judge Reinhold. And that was actually his name, the honorable Judge Reinhold. I think was his character's name on Arrested Development, wasn't it? I think that was his name.
And he was a judge. Not TV.
But he was also great, obviously, beating off in Fast Times at Ridgemont High in the bathroom there, and Q-tips, and...
scoping out what's-her-face, Phoebe Cates.
Yeah, Phoebe Cates. Not dumb.
Not dumb.
Pretty sharp.
Pretty soft.
But I love Judge Reinhold, and he is definitely a dumb character. I was watching clips of him on YouTube while driving around. No, I shouldn't. I should not admit that.
That's not good.
But what you do is you plug it in, Brian. You can hear it. You can listen
to it.
And it's fun. That movie is just fun. They have a 10-minute clip of all the best parts cut up from Beverly Hills Cop 2, most of which, obviously, are Axel Foley, played by Eddie Murphy. And you know what? The goddamn score really, really ages that movie, really puts it in the middle of the 80s, which is when it's from, but still a stand-up movie.
Yes.
I think that even the younger generation, the kids out there, if you've somehow missed Beverly Hills Cop, especially the first two, you're in for a bit of a treat.
The second one's pretty much a letdown, but that first one is unassailable.
No, the second one's just
movie.
As good. Third one, not as good. Mm-hmm. Second one is right there.
Okay.
I'd say. Third one, John Landis, kind of screwed the pooch there.
That first one is brilliant.
But the first one's great. And you know what? It's a different kind of comedy. It's different than what we got now. Nowadays, it's like, look, my balls are out, and I'm scratching them, and now I'm shoving them in this girl's face.
Get that drop, Logan.
That's the kind of comedy we have now. It's like, how filthy can we go? You know, even the most recent 22 Jump Street, it's like, Beverly Hills Cop was funny because everyone in it was fucking funny.
Yeah, and everyone, it was a real situation and real character. They were played for laughs, but
sure, there was some plausible. Offensive, like, gay things that were going on, it seemed, at every turn. But, Balky from,
Serge, just Bronson Pinchot.
Watch that 10 minutes. Do yourself a treat if you haven't seen the movie.
I just saw it recently. It's hilarious still.
All right. So, yeah, Judge Reinhold as Detective Rosewood, Beverly Hills Cop 1, 2, and 3, but namely 1.
Number 3 for me. I can't believe I was looking back over my lists, and I've actually talked about this performance more than I ever realized I have. It was my top 5 debut female performances, as well as an honorable mention for funniest female performance. Amanda Seyfried's Karen Smith in Mean Girls.
Good call.
Directed by Mark Walters, 2004. She's described in her intro as one of the dumbest girls you'll ever meet. She, unlike most of the great dumb movie characters, she's aware fully of the fact that she's dumb. When Lindsay Lohan says to her, she's like, Karen, you're not that stupid. She goes, yes, I am. I'm failing most of my classes. And Lindsay follows it up with saying, she's like, well, there must be something you're good at. She goes, she excitedly says, oh, I can fit my whole fist in my mouth. You want to see? And she goes to put her fist in her mouth. He's like, no, that's okay.
She never makes it, right? They never let her do it?
No, they don't. But she is fully aware of how dumb she is. And they're just like, oh, much like you can entertain yourself looking at Beverly Hills Beverly Hills Cop clips put together. That's a great montage of the dumbest moments of Karen from Mean Girls that are very entertaining. Karen's dumbest quotes. It was worth watching.
Her character is just one of the many degrees of funny in that movie. Mm-hmm. There's so many levels and funness and good nooks and crannies in that Mean Girls.
When she calls to cancel on Regina George, she goes, I'm sorry, I can't make it. Sick. It's fucking great. Good stuff.
Number three for me, Bray. This is a solid one. I like this one too. You had Owen Wilson.
I did.
On your list earlier. I too have Owen Wilson.
What?
But my Owen Wilson's far different from your Hansel.
Oh, is this? Oh, yeah.
Mine's Dignan.
Bottle Rocket.
Bottle Rocket. 1996 Bottle Rocket. It's Wes Anderson. Before Wes Anderson did Wes Anderson every other year.
Mm-hmm.
Before Wes Anderson was essentially, as far as I can tell,
Wes Anderson.
He's like imitating himself at this point.
He's
like
a parody of himself.
Yeah, he's a parody of himself. But he knows how to do dumb, and he really nailed it with Dignan's character, with Owen Wilson's character, Dignan, in the 1996 Bottle Rocket, with his 5-year plan after his buddy gets out of jail.
I did not see this movie.
He opens up, he's got it in the spiral notebook, and he's showing the 5-year, it's all hand printed out, which we've seen done numerous times, probably more effectively in later Wes Anderson movies, with different things being, he's really into, like, you know, the pen to paper, mm-hmm. and people's really monotonous, mm-hmm. meticulous drawings and whatnot. He really is, like, he lends so much to the hipster community, which doesn't really exist anymore because everyone is just mishmash
of... It's a blurred line.
God, so for a quick aside here, hearing Bill Burr talk to to Doug Stanhope the other day on a show I was listening to, and Bill was talking about how he was all excited when he saw like these old things coming back on the new generation. They're like wearing like stuff that he liked. And he's like, I was all excited because it's like coming back into like, you know, I love Incredible Hulk. I'm like, hey, kids like it too. Till I realized they were making fun of it. They're making fun of my entire childhood. That's all they're doing. Making fun of my childhood.
They're wearing it ironically.
It's totally
ironic.
But yeah, Wes Anderson definitely takes it back to like the pen to paper style. And he would, his whole thing, Dignan's whole thing, you haven't seen in, without giving a whole lot of ways. It's all about just being a crook. It's about being a burglar. Doing robberies and burglarizing. And
burgling.
That's kind of his 5-year plan. And he has, like, you know, you don't see who it is, but he has this guy who's going to, you know, set him up, like this wise guy who's going to, like, you know, help him. But they have to become like a good team of, like, you know, breaking into houses. So he, like, they run a practice at his friend's house, who is Luke Wilson. They run a practice at his parents' house, and they're actually stealing from his parents' house just to see, do a practice run, see how good they are at it. And then at the end, or towards the end, like, they're. they're gonna do this one robbery, right? And they have to like wear disguises, and they're wearing orange like jumpsuits, like all one piece jumpsuits, and then a little band aid, like a little piece of tape over the nose. That's the disguise. And Luke's like, who's not dumb, he's like to Dignan, he's like, why the tape? Dignan's answer, exactly.
That's the response.
I love this movie. I really did like this movie, and you know, listeners have kind of giving me some shit. They said that they've gone back and they've seen it. They've seen a lot of other Wes Anderson movies and gone back and see. I don't think it works out of order. Like, if you have seen all the Wes Anderson movies, this is Wes Anderson on a shoestring budget, but the characters are there. And for me, the characters are great. It's when there's... I don't want to continue, you know, going, you know, picking at Wes Anderson because I feel like our points are not well taken on the show and we get more negative. If you like Wes Anderson, great. I think 90 minutes is too much for a Wes Anderson movie.
He's like green tea for me. Like
I can drink green tea all day.
That's what I'm saying. It's a flavor that some people love, and it's like cilantro. It's a flavor that some people love, some people hate. But the people that love it, like, give me more. And it's for some people.
I can't like cilantro though.
Okay,
I've tried to acquire the taste.
I feel the same way.
But that's a kind of a bad example because it's actually a genetic thing.
I know. So it makes your enzymes like taste like soap.
It's soap, Brad.
It's an enzyme in your tongue.
We talk about this on this year's show.
No, but it's come up before.
Yeah, it's soap.
Maybe, yeah, I don't know.
Please don't put soap in my food that I'm paying you lots of money for. They do it often, Brad.
Soap free.
Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that? Just all of a sudden, soap becomes like really hip and trendy in food. And like almost any nationality of food you go out to eat, they're going to put soap in it.
Mm.
You're fucked.
It's like all natural.
That's what it's like.
Okay.
It's like, oh, great. I didn't know that they had soap at this restaurant, but evidently they do. Now my lobster has soap in it.
Yeah, there's a little demarcation on the menu for soap-free items.
I haven't had soap. I mean, I haven't had lobster in quite some time. I don't know why I use that as an example.
Coming up next.
I felt like a white man when I just said that. I should put on a suit.
The conclusion.
My lobster. My lobster's all. My lobster's all.
Cigar. Cigar and jowls. A martini.
Chomping on that cigar.
Manhattan. Unlit cigar too.
It's always unlit. Right?
Coming up next. That's right. Just for the look. Yeah. Top five. Conclusion.
Brian. Dumb.
Dumb characters. I just got down there for a second. Your eyes are stained on my mind. Courtesy died with sympathy. Let the ashes rain. DraftKings! That's exactly right, Anderson.
DraftKings.
DraftKings. Film Vault listeners are winning crazy money at DraftKings.com, America's favorite one-day fantasy baseball site. You do not want to miss this. One guy turned $11 into $4,000, and another player won $100,000 his first time ever playing. A guy even won $1 million once at DraftKings. It's easy. It's one-day fantasy baseball. And right now, get free entry into DraftKings' biggest fantasy baseball contest of the year. Over $3 million in cash prizes with $1 million for first place. Enter TFV at DraftKings.com for your free shot at hundreds, thousands, even $1 million. Free spots are going quick. Enter TFV right now at DraftKings.com. DraftKings.
The Bret Easton Ellis Podcast.
I'm here with actor James Vanderbeek.
Every career is really made up of so many more disappointments than successes.
Oh, for sure.
It is hard, I guess, not to get bitter. There has to be something in it that keeps you going.
You know what saved me has actually been writing. And it's funny to say that because, I mean, I don't talk about it. Nobody really knows I've been doing it. And that's where I can actually start to express some of the things that I want to say, create some of the projects that I want to create. I think that's kept me sane.
The Bret Easton Ellis Podcast at podcastone.com.
Daniel Johnston vibe there. I like it. I turned my cell phone.
I don't like that.
No longer Daniel Johnston vibe. Now that Daniel Johnston vibe is gone.
Octopus Garden. Oh, Octopus Garden. Octopus Caveman.
Octopus Caveman.
Is the FBT artist of the week.
Logs, am I fucking you by talking about what I'm actually hearing right now? Is that going to be a problem for you?
No, I forgot to turn off the music track anyway, so this is all
perfect. Live. Hey, look at that. All right.
Thanks, Octopus Caveman. Check them out. AndersonandBrian.com for more info on them or how to become a featured artist of the week. Get your tunes heard by hundreds.
Is it only hundreds, really?
Hundreds and hundreds.
Sad. Why don't more people listen?
Number two.
Guys, this show's a good service.
Yeah, my
Come
turn.
On, guys.
Do you go first or do I go first? I think I went first.
I want to be great to be able to yell at everyone that doesn't listen somehow.
Just like, everyone not listening right now, listen. Yeah,
everyone who listens, love you guys.
Yeah.
You don't have to listen to this part. And then we just
Turn your headphones around.
That's what every ad should be. We got to do a promo this week. That's what it's going to be. We're just going to scream and yell at people for not listening.
What the hell's wrong with you?
The fuck is wrong with you? Every goddamn week.
We produce genius, and here it goes unheard by you. Yeah, you.
Genius is a little far, but okay. We provide a very important service. We bring notes.
A genius service.
We work hard.
Are we staying away from genius?
We'll stay away from genius. We want to be credible.
Okay, that's a good point.
We watch lots of movies.
Too many movies, some might say.
All right, this is good practice.
Love to cut that.
We're going to do this one. Okay.
Here Number two for me. Oh, it's another one of my
I'm excited about my first two. Excited. Sorry. I'm sorry. I pumped up.
Number two for me is another tragic character. This is a tragically dumb character.
This means that this is really a retarded person. What that code is.
Again, you can judge for yourself. I just think he's a little dim. He's a little dim. He's not retarded at all. This person can function in society, live by himself.
Careful what
he's
you
an
say.
Adult man. He's played by Billy Bob Thornton.
Oh, my gracious.
Not who you think.
Oh.
Jacob Mitchell and A Simple Plan.
Look at you being all clever over there.
Great dumb character.
All right, this is A Simple Bloody Plan. Remind me.
From 1998, directed by Sam Raimi, Bill Paxton, Billy Bob Thornton, play brothers Bridget Fonda, Gary Cole, who you know is Lumberg from Office Space, Chelsea Ross, great character actor. Three guys find a bunch of money in the woods. A
satchel filled with
in
cash.
Snow. Was it a crash plane?
It was a car, I believe.
Whatever.
I read the fucking book. You know that?
Really? Any good?
I don't remember the movie or the book. I remember the snow.
There's a great movie.
And I remember lots of cash.
There are lots of cash. A few guys find some loot in the snow, and they go about saying, we're going to keep this cash, but clearly someone's going to come looking for it, so we got to devise a simple plan to keep this money. The twist is Bill Paxton's a normal guy, clever guy, whatever. Billy Bob Thornton, his brother, is a dimwit. He can't keep a thought in his head, and he loses track of the plot, and he's incompetent. Unfortunately, the plot relies on him because he's one of only three people who knows what's going on with this money.
Doesn't that make Bill Paxton kind of dumb, too?
Well, no, because they might find the money together. Yeah, that's so right. So he's painted into a corner, if you will.
Yeah.
So the plot hinges on him. They say that...
was it a plane crash? I can't remember.
I can't remember now. I feel like I'm crazy with mud. Follow him over the boat. I think it was a plane.
Could be.
Either way.
If I had to guess, I'd say plane.
You know how they say that your chain is only as strong as its weakest link?
Mm-hmm.
Well, unfortunately, Jacob's character, played Billy Bob, is the weakest link, and thus the chain is not too strong.
If I love this movie, I'd probably be getting upset with you.
Why?
Hey, because you're kind of giving away major plot points there.
I'm just saying that he's the weak link in the chain. They have to rely on this guy to hold the whole thing together.
I just looked up Simple Plan, and the band showed up. It's A Simple Plan, you dumb
a
fuck
Simple
Anderson.
Plan, a movie.
Yeah, I just wrote a simple. That's going to... Eight Simple Rules shows up. Blood Simple shows up before a simple plan. Yeah.
A Bloody Simple Plan.
See, that's why it works.
They're similar movies.
Money's involved.
It's a thievery.
It doesn't say. It just says that they come.
Is there a plot synopsis on the right there?
Three blue-collar acquaintances come across millions of dollars in lost cash. They make a plan. A simple one. To keep their find from the authorities. All right, whatever.
Don't worry about that. Logan, look it up. See if you can find out if it's a plane or not. 90% of Rotten Tomatoes. I don't know. Did you not like the movie or just don't remember it?
I just don't remember it.
It's a really good movie. I saw it recently, like maybe a year and a half ago.
I was doing that dumb thing because I decided that Sam Raimi was one of my favorite directors back in the day when this thing was being announced. And I ran out and read the book because I realized it was being based on a book. And that always fucks up your movie-going experience.
Okay.
So I don't remember the book that well. I don't remember the. I remember Palookaville way better than both.
So Billy Bob's character is not. I wanted to call him harmless, but you can't call him harmless because he's involved in this plot and he's integral to it. He's kind of a dopey, meek wild card that could send the plan into chaos at any moment with his bumbling. Is just incompetence. I guess incompetence is sort of the way to put it. But it's a great character, and Jacob, played by Billy Bob Thornton, A Simple Plan.
Here we go, number two for me. He could be my number one. He really could be. Because Warren Clark, Brian, playing Dim in A Clockwork Orange.
Oh, well, good
is
call.
One of the funniest
you
dumb
characters. You
never
talked about this movie, but talk about it for once. Would you please?
I was thinking about it. That's what makes a movie great. It's like, pretty much every other week, I can find an excuse to put Buffalo 66 or A Clockwork Orange. You know,
number one for me is Romy and Michelle.
True romance. One of these great, great movies because they got so many different things going into it. But one of the great things in A Clockwork Orange, many, many great things, but one of the great things is the sycophants. He surrounds little Alex surrounds himself. Alex at large surrounds himself with his sycophant gang members, the other droogs. And one in particular is named Dim.
That's not his name.
Aptly named Dim.
I believe it's a nickname.
It is a nickname. But that's how he comes up. That's how he comes up when you look him up on IMDb. That's his character's name, Brian.
Wouldn't it be funny if it was an ironic nickname, like he was a genius, and they called him Dim?
Wouldn't that be funny? Is that what you just said? No, it wouldn't be funny at all.
Okay.
Like calling a little, giant fat guy Shorty.
Yeah, or calling a little guy Stretch.
Not funny. Right. It's always just dumb. All right. Sorry. I just disappointed you for real. That was kind of sad. I'm sorry, buddy. Warren Clark, I have not seen, to my knowledge, in any other movie, despite the fact that he's got 131 movies to his credit.
Wow.
Yeah.
You have not seen any of them?
I've seen Top Secret, but I don't recall him. And he's also a producer on a number of movies as well. But he was I don't really, I love that. I love him.
Have you seen Top Secret?
Yeah. I don't recall. I saw Top Secret. No, that's not true. I was going to say I saw Top Secret before A Clockwork Orange, but... Mm. That's not true. Don't see Top Secret.
Why?
Not worthy.
There's some good stuff in there.
So here's some exchange with Dim and Alex from Clockwork Orange. Alex hits him on the knees when they're in the Corova milk bar. All right? Right after as the woman is singing.
As they're walking back.
No. She's singing. The woman's singing some Beethoven. Hmm. And Dim makes a farting sound effect out of disrespect with his mouth, and
that's right.
Alex smashes him very hard on the knees, and Dim goes, "What'd you do that for?" And Alex goes, "For being a bastard with no manners, not a duke of an idea how to comfort yourself public-wise, oh my brother." And then Dim says, "I don't like you should do what you've done. I'm not your brother no more, and wouldn't want to be." He's just like he's a man child. He's hilarious.
He's saying his thoughts, which is never good.
And then Alex says, "Watch that. Do watch that, oh Dim. To continue to be alive, though, doused wish." And then Dim goes, "Yarbles! Great botch, yucko yabbles to you." And I still say that.
Do you really?
I'm yelling that in traffic all the time to myself.
Yarbles.
Yarbles! I'll meet you with a chain gnaw surprise anytime. But he's hilarious. He's hilarious. The singing, his backup singing, which I almost went and got, but I know there's too much overkill with me and the goddamn Clockwork Orange on this show, but his backup singing, singing in the rain during the...
assault sequence?
Sexual assault sequence, yes, that was cartoonized and comedyized, comedically performed at Kubrick's behest on purpose, I think.
To soften it, maybe?
But that singing in the rain sequence with him, he's singing in the rain in the background, which is still the way that I sing it when we sing a version of that up at camp, Brian.
Oh, no.
Singing in the rain.
It's subversive.
I'm sure I've mentioned
it. Does any
it here
camper ever get it?
Over the years. No counselors get it.
Oh.
But I'm up there getting it. I'm enjoying myself.
Singing in the rain.
I'm singing in the rain. And we had this thing where we have to go back and forth, like sway back and forth, and I'm doing like kick motions. Like real. It's just fun for me, Brian.
Exciting.
It's fun for me.
You're missing yourself.
Yeah, I am. Got to do that sometimes, especially when there's all the cheer and bliss up at camp. Sure. Oh my God, dripping with honey. Yeah,
so much happiness.
Saccharine.
Gotta do something.
Gotta do something. Yeah.
Number one for me.
It used to be okay because the olden days, Brian, we used to be able to talk shit, you know, about other counselors, about some of the kids and sure stuff, you know, during fellowship. This new goddamn generation, everything's offensive. Everything.
Watch your tongue.
This new generation, goddamn pussies.
They're not built for you.
Every generation says that about the last generation, right?
But seriously.
I was thinking about it. All right, one more hockey reference. I know that
we're talking about you.
We're going down a little bit off. Watching a hockey draft over the weekend, right? A lot of former players' sons are now being drafted.
Okay.
They're of age. Every single one of them, Brian, I'm not going to bother with any of the names because you won't know them, but every single one of them, the knock is they're not nearly as tough as their father was. Father played with an edge.
Van Beesbrook isn't as tough.
Father played with an edge.
Little Richter isn't as tough.
Son, much more of a finesse player. Everyone's just a puss. Except for those of you willing to risk your lives for service. Thank you for your service.
Thank you for that. Other than those, though.
But everyone else at home playing your goddamn little fake video games and springing your thumbs on your remotes, puss. But it's not even about the physicality,
thanks for
Brian.
Listening down line, though.
Brian, it's not. Oh, yeah, that's true.
That's true.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks for looking through for your video
It's
games.
Not the physicality. It's how. And not the people that listen to this show, I don't think that they're. I think the people that listen to this show are my people and your people. To an extent, but the fact that people get so goddamn offended about everything nowadays, you know what I mean? You can't use the N-word without everyone looking at you sideways.
Tell me about it.
No, but like, really, everyone, people get very, especially up at camp.
I agree. They feel bad out of shape, especially on others' behalf.
They can't wait, you know, to get hurt about something.
For like, someone else. That's
and a lot of times it's because I think they're looking for a cause. Like, I want something to bitch about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you can't say that about those people, and it's like, well, you making that judgment is actually more offensive than anyone saying that thing. But I digress.
I'm sorry.
Number one for me.
I took you there.
No, I agree with that. I agree with myself. Number one. I mentioned Romy and Michelle.
You're joking, though. Monkey babies.
They are great, spectacular, dumb characters.
They are stupid.
Number one, Mira Sorvino. In
what?
Mighty Aphrodite.
Look at it. She did it again. She did it again.
I led you one way, then I went another.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Mighty Aphrodite has not one,
great
but two,
call,
two great, ca-
great
dumb characters.
Great fucking call. That was a really
Rappaport
good call.
Rappaport is a great dumb character in this as well.
Yeah.
But Mira Sorvino's character, Linda Ash, a.k.a. Judy Cum, because she's a porn star. She's a porn star. Right. She's Judy Cum. In Mighty Aphrodite, 1995, written and directed by Woody Allen. She won Best Supporting Actress for this, and very, very deserving, in my opinion. So Mira Sorvino herself graduated from Harvard, magna cum laude, in 1989 with a degree in East Asian Studies. I did not know it was East Asian Studies. I knew she had done Harvard. She's fluent in Mandarin Chinese, so she's a very smart person.
Why would you ever?
What?
Major in that. Isn't it?
It is a strange thing. Unless you're going to go
unless
to China,
unless you love China and you
want to
live there and die there and have a professor.
And
profession.
Why has that never manifested itself in her work? Why has she never starred in a kung fu movie or directed a movie about the Chinese? Isn't that kind of weird?
Yeah.
Anyway, she's a smart person.
Maybe she holds that in such high esteem. She's like, I don't want to
sully
make a mockery of it. Yeah.
Combining it with Hollywood. So she plays, like I said, Linda Ash, a prostitute / porn star. Very much an airhead. She hopes to someday transition into legitimate stage acting. Here she is, Logan, with my clip, describing her first time shooting a porn scene.
This is a great scene. Woody Allen's reactions to it, really bring it
up. It's
home.
A long take, too.
And you know, this guy, life kind of imitated art here, unbeknownst to Dr. Drew, not to, Drew's kind of top of mind a little bit because he did, no, but when he was doing that Celebrity Rehab, it was like the second or third season, maybe he had Mary Carey on there, and her describing to Drew what she does for a living was priceless. She was talking about taking two dicks in the ass, very similar to this, but she had no idea. I bet Mary Carey in her giant head has never even heard of Mighty Aphrodite.
Oh, I doubt it very, very much
that she's heard of it.
Yeah,
yeah, I don't think so. But she was pretty much doing that to Drew, and Drew was Woody Allen.
Mary Carey was a big Woody Allen fan.
It'd be shocking.
It'd be amazing.
She is, but it's the name of her dildo.
I remember I was very nervous because I'd never done it in front of people with a camera before, you know? And so there I am on the first day on the set, and there's this guy fucking me from behind, right? And there's these two huge guys dressed like cops in my mouth at the same time. And I remember thinking to myself, I like acting.
I've been accused of liking this movie just because it's so over the top crass, and you know, it's been years since I've seen it. I've seen it a couple times, saw it in the theaters, but I remember it really had like some sweet moments and some heart, and it was a solid Woody Allen movie.
It absolutely was. I like it very much. Strangely, not available on Netflix, even on DVD. I'm sure you can track it down online somewhere, but
it's probably on Amazon.
Probably is. But do yourself a favor, see Mighty Aphrodite.
It's one of my favorite Woody Allen movies.
It's a fun movie. She won Best Supporting Actress. What else do you need to know?
We you know what, I've still got about a third, maybe a half, Woody Allen's collection that I still gotta.
Same.
It's nice though. I kind of like knowing that they're there. Like I can, you know, always go and like see a fresh Woody Allen. There's so many.
What's next on your list?
He makes one every year. But I would love to be able to do a top five Woody Allen movies. We gotta prepare for his death, and we gotta be prepared to do top five Woody Allen movies. Start watching now, Brian.
Sorry, the guy's like just 70 something years old.
Yeah.
What's next on your list for Woody Allen? What do you want to see next?
I don't know.
Bullets of Broadway?
No.
Hannah and her sisters?
Danny Rose is available everywhere. I've seen that one, though. What's the Deconstructing Harry? I want to see that bad. And Fuckflix doesn't have that either.
Mm.
Deconstructing Harry.
Come on. Woody and Netflix. Get together.
Whose character is it? Somebody's like all blurry.
It's up in their head.
He's out of focus. Like he's actually out of focus in the movie.
I've not seen that. I don't know.
He's all fuzzy. All right. Number one.
Your dumbest character. Your favorite dumb character.
Brian, we'd both be idiots and remiss not to have a Coen Brothers character on our top five.
It's
because
true.
The Coen Brothers are the kings of making dumb characters come to life and lovable.
Some better than others.
George Clooney, his character in O Brother Where Art Thou, not a smart man. Brad Pitt's idiot personal trainer in Burn After Reading.
I did not see that one.
Not a great movie, but his character is memorable for mainly his stupidity. The simpleton, Donnie in Big Lebowski.
That's
he's
right.
definitely
he's
simple.
Out of his element.
He's not mentally challenged, but he's slow.
He's out of his element.
He's like a 5-year-old child who wanders through a movie. William H. Macy, Jerry Lundgren, Fargo, of course. Very stupid. Very stupid person.
Doesn't think out his plans very well.
Of course, H.I. Brian in Arizona. Slack jawed yokel. Talking about Nicolas Cage and Raised in Arizona. Mm-hmm. But no. One for me. Takes the cake.
More than all those.
More than all those.
Okay.
And the movie is centered around him. He is the EK character. Talking about Tim Robbins, Brian. Norville Barnes, 1994's Hudsucker Proxy. Hudsucker Proxy. Holy shit.
I can't believe I forgot about this one. That's a great call.
You know, for kids. Now, they might have modeled him after somebody stupid.
He is recruited because he is dumb.
That is exactly how he gets. But luck just finds, you know, because as you learn, and maybe without giving things away, you know, we all are kind of engineered and laid out through faith and what, you know, it's all predisposed, and that's kind of where the movie
goes. Down a path.
I wish this movie had a different ending because the ending is so annoying.
The ending takes it from an A to like a B plus.
I'd say A to a B almost. Okay. That end is just so absurd, so ridiculous. But his character is so memorable. Say what you want about Tim Robbins.
By the way,
Robbins.
Footnote to that, I agree with you. That's another reason I want to do top five Deus Ex Machinas, which is just shit that comes out of nowhere that kind of either is good or bad, but just kind of comes out of nowhere.
Yeah. I think that would ruin a lot of just come out of nowhere moments
for
a lot of people.
It might.
Yeah, so I'm not really into that. Hudsucker Proxy, my number one. And the whole movie is driven by his stupidity and everything that he does dumb. It's like that character that you see like in cartoons walking down the street, and unbeknownst to him, like pianos are falling from the sky and just missing him. And he's that character.
Yep.
And he does it with a smile, and all he wants to do is invent the fucking hula hoop. That's all he wants to do.
Well, he wants to do is be good at his job.
And be good at his job and get recognition. And he just wants to make people happy, ultimately. He's a very lovable character. And say what you want about Tim Robbins. I was about to say he's a polarizing character these days because of his politics and whatnot. But
where did fun Tim Robbins go? Was the last time we saw him was in High Fidelity. That was fun Tim Robbins.
No, I'm sure he's been fun since.
Has he?
I'm sure.
Oh, White and noise. Anchorman.
I missed Tim Robbins. He was one of my favorites there for a few years, and I'd like to see him. You know, and I don't want to get into it, but from all I've heard personally, he's a good guy. Like, he evidently there's that evidently again creeping into my lexicon.
Apparently.
He evidently, Brian, is he volunteers a lot of time of coaching and directing, teaching young underprivileged kids like acting skills and whatnot. I've heard good things.
Okay.
I've also heard some terrible things. I like to just think about the good things. Kind of like Alec Baldwin. Sure. I only think good things about Alec Baldwin.
I think good things about him. This is a really good call. I wish I had remembered this from my list, and I'm sure there's someone who will even come up on the listener list that I haven't thought of or forgot about, so I'm interested to hear what the listeners have.
And the Coen brothers know what I'm talking about when I'm talking about those evil white fucks with the chomping.
That's them. That's the scene I saw, and I'm like, that's what Ernst is talking about. That's every time you close your eyes, that's what he sees.
And Hunt's Like a Proxy features a great pre-death, obviously, Paul Newman. He was fantastic.
Oh, he was great.
I love Paul Newman. Miss me, my Paul Newman.
Great.
All right, well, from our listeners, the number five choice is Brick Tamlin, played by Steve Carell in Anchorman.
Ooh, call back to Anchorman.
Number four, Navin, played by Steve Martin in The Jerk.
Yep, Navin Johnson. It's poor black child.
Number three, Cousin or Uncle Eddie, depending on your perspective, played by Randy Quaid in Christmas Vacation.
Oh, good one.
Yeah.
His white shoes.
Was he dumb? He was dumb. He was pretty dumb.
Number two, Harry Dune, played by Jeff Daniels in Dumb and Dumber. Mm.
Come on, guys. You're better than that. Now, don't do Jim Carrey. Please, guys. Come on.
I hate to inform you.
You fuckers!
But Lloyd Christmas is number one, as voted on by our listeners.
Wow. Did you skip from 3-1?
No.
Oh.
Three was Eddie.
Okay.
Four, Navin, and five,
there
Brick.
There you go. Ones that did not get mentioned. I know you don't like this movie as much as me, but Ethan Hawke's character in Before the Devil Knows You're Dead is a very, very similar one to Billy Bob's character.
It was depressing.
It was a very depressing movie, actually, but really well done.
Not enjoyable.
Sean Penn in Fast Times.
Oh, I got that.
Version on High.
I got that from my also ran is there.
I know you like Idiocracy more than me, but there's a host of great Dax Shepard and President Camacho.
I'm afraid that we've evolved into mentally challenged people. All of them are just mentally challenged. Justin Long's character. No, don't get me started on Idiocracy.
John Belushi in Animal House.
Long's character playing a doctor in Idiocracy is. I must see that scene right now. Like, what is he diagnosed with?
I forget.
Oh, it's so good.
Logan's got to find it.
You're like pretty fucked up and shit, yo.
As a doctor.
I think Logan's going to pull up with us.
Azang, essay.
Yeah, right. Well, not so good. You know, I don't really know what's going on, but I'm seeing things. I think it might be because of these drugs the army put me on. But if you could just get me well enough to get back to base.
Right. Kick ass. Well, don't want to sound like a dick or nothing, but it says on your chart that you're f***ed up. You talk like a fag, and your shit's all retarded.
They bleep fucked, but not
what
fag?
What I do is just like you know, you know what I mean? Like,
no, I'm serious here.
Don't worry, Scrub. Now, there are plenty of tards out there living really kick-ass lives. My first wife was tarded. She's a pilot now.
I need for you to be serious for a second here, okay? I need help.
There's that fag talk we talked about. All right, so that'll be this many dollars. And if you could just go ahead and,
he's not scanned.
Tattoo that.
I think that's good.
Yeah, that's where he realizes he's not scanned.
I forgot how much the fag talk came up in this movie. They bleep talk, but not fag.
It says here in your chart that you're pretty much fucked up and shit.
My wife was tarded. She's a pilot.
He couldn't even say tarded. He's like, tarded. Oh, so that's the doctor of the future.
That's
right
good
there.
Stuff, man. Anyway, Belushi in Animal House. He has no GPA. And Anna Faris in Just Friends, which I know you loved.
I got some good Chris Klein's character as Paul Metzler in Election. Mm-hmm. Not a lot of talk about that movie anymore. It's been banned from my top five, so I'm Brian. But Chris Klein, incredibly stupid in that movie. Pee-wee from all the Pee-wees.
Yeah, I guess so. He's a man-child.
All three of them Hanson brothers, Brian.
That's right.
From Slapshot.
Stupid
fucks. Hilarious. Lovable.
They're of single mind.
Both brothers and stepbrothers, Brian.
Mm-hmm.
Will Ferrell as well as John C. Reilly. And then Will Ferrell on Night at the Roxbury. You remember him in the wedding scene? I almost put him on last week.
Well, Chris Kattan's pretty dumb, too, but Will Ferrell is the dumber character.
Oh, he's so great when he's getting married and he's just nodding to it. Good stuff. And then, that's it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's forget.
Oh, wait.
What?
I like to look at the Facebook there with the listeners' choices.
Okay. By the way, you can, yes, vote on choices on our Facebook page.
It was up a little bit late this week, and I actually sent Logan an email, which I rarely do, Logan, so I hope I didn't offend you there, buddy.
But that's all right. I was sleeping. I ignored it.
Okay, good.
That's, no, you ignored it. But I found some a very funny one. Somebody, who was it? Who wrote it here? It's a good one. Hold on, kids. This is going to pay off. I promise you.
I doubt it.
I think you might be right. Might not. I want to give the person credit. I remember what it was. Fuck me. Somebody wrote, whoever you are that wrote the entire cast of Bully, hilarious. Because it's true, too. Like it's a real life case, and they're all such dumb fuck teenage fucking boozers who could have maybe possibly gotten away with murder, but didn't because they're also goddamn stupid. Who said that?
Someone said that.
Someone said
that. Thanks to a Facebook user who did that. Look it up, Anderson and Logan. In the meantime, we'll go over the gambling. Oh, the controversy.
All right, well, last week you gambled on Transformers.
Mm-hmm. Did we?
At the time, the Rotten Tomatoes score was 57%. Anderson bid 52, and Brian 60.
52s. Oh, I win then. Cool.
I feel like I may have gone down.
Oh, yeah, the Rotten Tomatoes score the Wednesday after release for Transformers is 17%.
Oh, one up.
Andrew Martin said to the entire cast of Bully. Which, Brian, have you seen Bully?
I've not seen Bully.
Is
that my movie? Is that my movie for this week?
Good for you, buddy. Yeah.
Okay. Is it streaming at least?
It's been streaming for a long time. Bully's a fantastic film. You said it's the same guy that directed Kids. You're going to like that. Larry Clark.
Okay.
Based on a true story, Brian. Of murder.
Oh, my. Yeah.
Now, before
Brad
we get
Renfro,
into,
Brian.
Before we, I understand.
He's dead now.
He's dead. How long
Nick Stahl, Brian. Nick Stahl plays the bully.
How old is the movie?
2002, 2003,
ooh,
I want to say.
Pretty rough.
Yeah.
What? Logan, now let's clear up a controversy from last week.
All right, well, it was from a couple weeks ago, actually, and I had you guys, one of you had already seen the Rotten Tomatoes score for 22 Jump Street.
2001.
And I just knew that it was like, I had you vote on whatever other movie was coming out that week.
Dragon 2.
But I had forgotten the following week that I had made you do that because the week before was the launch of Tomorrow Daily, and I was...
So when he came back, he thought that it was... it was because of what, Logan?
I was watching this daily show that you can find
how
on
dare
CNN.
You promote
go on iTunes
look
and download
he fucks
it,
up, and somehow
go.
He turns it into a goddamn spot.
Shrinkage after
he fucks up, turns it into a spot.
Unbelievable.
That's masterful.
Well done. That's masterful.
Actually, that's big balls.
You're rehired.
Big balls.
In the middle of confessing his mistake, by the way.
Yeah. Okay, go ahead. I don't think that I was going to let you slip by that. But
hey, it was still effective. And look, we're still talking about it. So
No one heard, though, what you're saying.
That's
just bleeps it out.
It's marked.
Okay.
All right, well, because of that, there was a mistaken winner.
Yeah, you fell asleep at the wheel, and you came back, and you had us do 22 Jump Street.
Right.
Neither one of us dumb fucks in here.
So Anderson won at the time when it should have been Brian.
All right, so it's a wash, right. Whatever.
Now
that's
we not
get
at
to,
all a wash, actually.
That's a wash.
It's not a wash at all. I was assigned a film, and it should have been you.
It's a wash.
That's not a wash. That is the exact opposite. It's dirty. It's the exact opposite of a wash.
Listen, you didn't catch it.
Thankfully, a listener did. That's why Michael Cole, our faithful scorekeeper, Michael Cole, is there.
You didn't throw the red flag. I scored the point.
Oh, so you're just going to run away with this victory?
Absolutely. Yeah.
Wow.
I'm not going back. It's too late to do a recount. It's too late to do a review.
This feels highly irregular.
If anything, you can punish the scorekeeper.
Oh,
you can assign me a movie.
But
choice.
I am skating scot-free over here. And you know what? When I win, Brian, the listeners win. Because they get to hear you talk about a good movie.
That's not Freeway 2!
Rather than me hear me slog
I talked about Freeway 2! I talked about the worst movie in the history of the show.
It is not.
It is one of
no,
the worst.
Fred. We watched Fred.
Oh, boy.
And I've talked a lot about Amore.
So
Amore, the worst movie ever discussed on this year podcast.
The Best Picture nominee?
Oh, yeah. Worst. Awful.
Worse than Fred?
Oh, and real quick, I get a lot of shit about the reviews that I do over there at AndersonCowan.com.
No,
about they're all.
No one cares.
But a lot of people give me shit. They said they're all like 4 or 4.5, 5 star movies.
You only write about movies you want to write.
It's
about.
Hard for me to get up and write about a shitty movie.
Yeah, I understand that.
I write about a movie that I was hoping would be great, and it disappoints me. But it's really hard for me to get up and write. So all the movies over there are going to be worth you talking about and seeing. So, all right, get off my balls.
So I need to assign you a
film. Get off my balls.
I need to assign you a film.
All right, get off my balls.
For the makeup.
Get off my balls.
Makeup film.
No, did you not just hear my pitch?
That's bullshit.
I'm not.
So, Logan, your film, and Anderson, yours as well.
No.
Have you seen Transformers 4, Logan?
Especially not.
No, not yet.
You're about to.
I wasn't going to.
You're about to. Transformers 4, come in and flick fest it next week.
Mm-hmm. I'm not doing that.
You will see that.
No, I'm not.
You will see it.
I will not see that movie, Brian.
You want to come see it with me? My theater?
No. I can't think of a worse afternoon.
All right, we're gambling on this week. Let's wrap it up.
All right, this week you're going to be gambling on Tammy.
You're walking away with that victory. That's horse shit.
You understand my point.
No, I don't at all.
Can you imagine, like, the following week in the NFL, like, some fucking coach throwing a red flag? That fan up there in the seats told me that his foot was on the line.
No, like,
if
there's an egregious enough error,
it's in the books.
And
Michael Cole, you're a little legal fucking snitch. Wow, Michael Cole, you're a fucking snitch.
If it was you,
snitches, bitches.
If it was you,
bitches, snitches.
If it was you, Michael, you'd be very upset.
Michael Cole, getting some stitches.
That's an audible threat. I don't know.
I would understand. You know, if you brought up that, if you, all right, he's not really getting stitches. I'd shake his hand if I met him. But hey, you're a little bit of a bitch, snitch.
Wow. Thanks for all your hard work.
You want to do well in jail. Speaking of which, before this is over, because it didn't really come up, Brian, but I had this this email here,
okay,
written by a guy who likes to go by Cheeks.
Okay,
that's his name.
Oh no,
when he was in jail.
Oh no.
Yeah.
You don't want that nickname. Hey,
Travis,
you met Cheeks.
I had this locked and loaded, ready for when you were going to interrupt me. But here's what he wrote. Hey, I just didn't interrupt you. Hi, you did it too bad today. I interrupted you, if anything. But he wrote, hi, I've just got out of jail after a year or so and have started playing catch up on the Film Vault. I love your movie advice.
What if that's what got him through jail? What if that's what got him through his incarceration? Can't wait to get out and get back to the Film Vault.
He's doing it right now, Cheeks. You can hear him.
I know, that's why I'm doing it.
I love your movie advice, and even though Baldy Brian can get a good one every now and then, hell, even the dead clock is right twice a day. Okay. Anyway, I know it would be a lot of me to ask, but is there any way you could just shut Brian the hell up while you're talking and during most of the podcast? Oh, sorry, that was rude.
I'm guessing Cheeks didn't take a lot of writing or reading classes in jail.
There is only so much lame, waste of time movie reviews and top fives of Brian a guy can handle. I recently just listened to you hold back your anger after he used retarded, which I don't appreciate, Cheeks, but it's go mentally challenged from this point on, Cheeks, to review Freeway and the stupid comment of cop number one, which we're not going to go back into. We're not going to get back into that, Brian. Settle it. You had every right to choke him out on the spot. Thanks, Cheeks.
Wow.
See, if we were if this was a prison show, I would be allowed to choke your ass out.
Okay.
Thanks anyway for bringing me back to the end of the movie world with your great recommendations. I'm off to rape now.
I hope he said that.
He didn't say that.
Oh, my God. All right. Thank you, Jailbird.
Hey, but why can't they listen to podcasts in jail? I feel like it would let them a little steam off. I guess you could probably
why wouldn't you?
They probably don't want to give them a whole lot of internet.
Internet access is restricted.
Oh, but we could start a whole new podcast.
Oh, think about that. Empire.
How to kill that fuck guard that you hate.
Turn this week's episode, turning soap into knives. Logan, what are we gambling on?
Gambling on Tammy this week.
Oh! Once again, another movie. Just like, let's take a mentally challenged, mentally ill person and make fun of them.
If the trailers and commercials are any indication, this could be very, very funny.
Are you serious? Wait, are you serious?
No.
I think you're serious.
This looks like these are the worst commercials I've ever seen for a movie.
I thought you were being serious.
No, I'm being 100% ironic.
What if she was in Transformers, riding one of the Dinobots?
That's mean.
What?
It'd collapse.
That is mean. I wish you hadn't said that.
I shouldn't have said that. Grimlock would be...
This looks like God... And I like her. I like Melissa McCarthy quite a bit. She's a talented, funny lady. Not so sure about this one. This is like a background character. Like they're doing an experiment. Like, you know those background funny characters that she's done on other movies? Mm-hmm. Can she do it on her own?
Okay.
We don't have to
pay
anyone.
It's like an SNL sketch.
That goes on and on. Yeah. All right, I got mine.
What is it?
49.
You think it's going to be 49%?
Yeah, is that bad?
15.
Ooh, wow.
Oh, wow.
Just because... Your little movie got a low score. It doesn't mean everyone's going to go hog wild on the low scores this year.
It's not funny to say hog wild about Melissa McCarthy.
I wasn't saying that.
All right, Logan, what's
talking about Transformies being so.
Right, currently, the Wednesday before release with 87 reviews.
87 reviews.
The Rotten Tomatoes score for Tammy is 24%.
Fuck me in the goat.
It's not going to go up.
Fuck me in the goat.
87 reviews. Not going to get many more reviews than that. Oh, okay. Exciting to see Transformers 4 next week. Thank you.
You won't do that to
Octopus
me.
Octopus Caveman.
Why would you do that to me?
Because you may see Freeway 2.
Well, that was retaliation, Brian. We're like the Middle East right now to each other. Let's stop this.
What was it retaliation for?
For you being you, A.
Wait, but there was something. Movie.
There was something.
Something terrorists would say.
There was something. Oh, I think your reaction to Freeway. No! Oh, it was retaliation for fucking Sugar and Spice.
That's a great movie.
Look at you. Are you serious?
100% serious. I love that movie.
That's where the you being you comes into play.
I don't know who that is, but Miss Movies loves
that movie. Yeah, Miss Movies loves that fucking movie because she's a goddamn cheerleader. That's why you like about frat movies. Any movie that about frats.
By the way, I never saw the Neighbors movie. Any good? But yeah, he said it was good.
Yeah.
I see that.
It's a solid movie.
Octopus Caveman.
Very funny.
AndersonBryan.com is where you go for information on them.
Bit of a
it's also where you go to see the fan art for this week by Eric Fusco. Very funny. Logan showed it to me. Good theme to this week. Fan art. It's also where you go to become a feature artist. You want to submit your tunes, your band, your artistry, your music. Check out a list of films discussed. I went there also to see, use the list of films discussed, the honorable mentions, to see what Anderson talked about, The Graduate, a couple weeks ago. Comment on our episodes. We do read them. We appreciate them. We don't listen to them, but we appreciate them. Vote on our top fives at The Film Vault on Facebook, The Film Vault, also Twitter at The Film Vault. Check out The After Disaster live July 12th at The Improv here in Hollywood. AfterDisaster.com for tickets. Anything else? Lost in deep thought.
I'm sorry, I'm reading the list. I didn't get a chance to read the listeners' comments or contributions to the list this week, which is rare. And
I was literally proving my point.
Honestly, it's so fucked up. I'm like, maybe I can get through this list before the show's over, and then it'll be official, and then I wouldn't have missed anything. Yeah.
Okay.
God damn, what were you saying over there? What was happening over there?
I was talking about the After Disaster Live show, July 12th.
Oh, thanks, buddy. I think it's sold out. I think it's almost sold out. I don't know. There's not much left, I don't think. But come on over.
Call the box office.
Close, though. It's close if it's not already. It's going to be a fun time. Fart barf.
And Anderson proved my point that we actually do read the comments on our Facebook page.
I don't read comments on
the... Well, those
are comments. Okay. Hey, we do it for Van Gogh. And all my happiness is just a fading memory. And I'm just sinking deeper as my heart turns to stone. As my heart turns to stone. Hey, Brad.
Yep.
TrueCar.com is changing car buying forever.
How about that?
Forever. Yes, every day TrueCar users receive negotiation-free guaranteed savings. Some features are not available in all states, but in the first 3 months of this year, Brian, over 126,000 cars were sold by the TrueCar Certified Dealer Network.
That doesn't sound right.
TrueCar users save an average, Brian, of $3,078 off MSRP.
Whoa.
What's MSRP stand for?
Manufacturer's Suggested Retail Price.
That's right. And for those of you who couldn't understand a word Brian just said, Manufactured Suggested Retail Price. When you're ready to buy a car, just follow three easy steps.
First, go to TrueCar.com, find out what other people paid for the car you're looking for. Then, register at TrueCar.com to see upfront pricing information and lock in your savings. Third step, just print out your TrueCar savings certificate, take it to the TrueCar certified dealer for a better, hassle-free car buying experience. Remember, every day, TrueCar users receive negotiation-free guaranteed savings. Save time, save money, never overpay. Visit TrueCar.com today. That's TrueCar.com.